Live from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood.
This
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
A place of our own without a lot of parents bearing down our backs.
Radio worth watching.
And here we go.
All right, everybody. It's the Schmoes No Podcast. It is a fantastic, fantastic show for so many reasons. I'm Christian Harloff.
And I'm Mark Ellis. And my goodness, I've been waiting for this for so long. It is finally here, the return of the NFL, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen.
It's the return of the NFL.
The NFL season has kicked off, and I have no idea what's happening. Do not spoil it tonight,
that
Christian.
That was a
what's
really rude build-up.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
I feel like it was going to be a big return.
This is
the biggest sport.
No, wait. That has to be nice. We have to say, Tiffany, it's nice to see you. Welcome back.
I'm getting such a nice welcome.
It's nice to see you. But let's do what we're doing here. There's a reason why. There's someone back in the studio.
What?
Yeah.
Right. I might start fucking twerking.
See.
Nobody needs to ever twerk after.
No, and no one would ever introduce himself by fucking twerking, except the lovely ex co-host of the show, a friend of the show, and with the new movie Riddick coming out tomorrow, that will be one Katie Sackhoff. Welcome back to Schmoville, Katie.
Yay.
Very nice. Very nice.
See, she doesn't do that like she's the ex. She does that like she's the once, present, and future champion of Schmoes. No, she has the belt.
Could you imagine if I did that and then punched it?
Yeah. Well, Katie, we're going to be talking.
I know what it sounds, Katie.
Now, guys, what we're going to be doing for this first hour for regular Schmoes No listeners, so you know, the news will happen around the 9 o'clock area because we have Katie for a full hour and want to talk to her about everything going on. She's not the co-host tonight. She's our guest. We want to talk to her about what the fuck is going on.
Different hat for Katie to wear. You must be nervous.
I actually put on makeup. It was so weird. Like, I was getting ready to come here. Like, I was actually, like, doing my job for press.
I knew there was something different about you. Yeah. So you put makeup on when we say, hey, Katie, we need a guest on the show. But when we need a co-host, you're like, yeah, just get me a beer, and I'll roll out of bed, and I'll look how I look.
Yeah, and we were talking about that, too.
She's still drinking beer with the makeup
on. Kind of true.
True. Yeah. Well, we were talking about that, too, when we were doing the show back when we were in the mornings. Katie would show up at, like, 7:50. And, you know, and again, do a show at 8 to 10 in the morning, and we'd still be like, I'll take a beer. You know, that would show you, like, her and I would be drinking and having a good time, and it's good to have you back, Katie.
Fucking Ellis would sit over there like a, you know,
puss.
Like a puss without a beer in his hand. Yeah. And we're like, really?
How are you guys drinking? Our parents are home.
All right.
Please laugh into the mic, Katie. Yeah, they need to know these jokes
are landing.
My mic
is acting really weird.
Yeah.
It's a little...
you sound as great as ever.
Everything, we're working on. But guys, again, so make sure tonight you're going to tweet in at Schmoesno, at Katie Sackhoff, at Tiffany's Tweets, and talk to us tonight. Make sure you hashtag everything Schmoesno, Schmoesno podcast.
I look like we're doing really weird dances, but it's because our headphones are acting weird, and then both of us are like.
Who put the girls together, Christian?
I know.
I told you about this last time.
Well, Johnny Ice will be working on this.
The girls are taking over the treehouse.
All right, let's
taking our beer.
Let's get into this thing, Katie.
Taking our beer.
Katie, it's Riddick time.
It is Riddick time.
Yeah, when you first joined us in as co-host in June of last year, you were, I believe, shooting the movie or just shot it, one of the two.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a little bit. Now we've seen it. Now it's out there. How excited are you for the open?
Really excited. I'm just excited for people to see this movie. I was so nervous to be kind of like the lone estrogen quota in the movie.
Right.
And, you know, because like I said to you guys a long time ago, you know, if people walk out of the movie and say the girl was bad, they're not going to go, which one? You know,
right.
I mean, it's like, it's, you know, this is it. So I was really excited when I saw it because I truly enjoyed the movie.
Right.
So, and people seem to be loving it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and so it's the big release of the weekend. Everybody's talking about it.
This is going to be the biggest movie. Like, it's going to be number one at the box office.
Well, it's the only big movie.
It's going to be first,
well, that's
weekend,
true, too.
Which is awesome.
Is J.D.
Nice.
Salinger going to beat it? I mean, the guy wrote a great book, but film, no. He's not taking out Riddick.
The interesting little tidbit of news, One Direction has been one in, like, you know, number one spot in the U.K. for a while.
Yeah.
And got bumped out last night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, well,
that's
flexing some muscle. That's good. Awesome.
You know what's good about that, too? Again, it's a good time as well for you to be in this movie because Vin Diesel's another guy. He had, you know, he came out with those big action movies, again, like Pitch Black or whatever in the day. And then he kind of fell off a little bit and then just came back. Vroom, vroom, I mean, no pun intended with Fast and Furious. And now he's got the
that was nice sound effect.
Yeah.
I'm working on a break. I'm working on a break screech. I got the
It's
going good.
Mine was like my Dragon Call.
Yeah, I know.
Literally,
it's very popular.
It was a car. That was a car breaking. It was. He's like, hit a fucking dove or
so.
It's like a dove being molested. Yeah.
It's just like old times. It's just like old times. Now we're again. So you get you know now that you know the Vin Diesel's having that not comeback, but a resurgence. Right. I guess
he's on the map again.
Well, you know, I mean, truthfully, Universal made a decision to hold Riddick back after Fast 6 on purpose.
Yeah, smart.
You know, they did it because they knew that that franchise. You know, the last Chronicles of Riddick.
It's a little bit of a disappointment.
I personally loved the movie, but I think as far as the budget was concerned, you know, I don't know if it was it was perceived as to be a success. I don't know. So they, you know, following Fast 5, you knew Fast 6 was going to, you know, clear out the box office and clean it up. So to put Riddick after that is a smart choice.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mentioned when we shot a review, the asshole editor cut it out. But I don't think you need to see Pitch Black or Chronicles of Riddick to enjoy Riddick. And
no,
you guys can watch our review on our YouTube channel on Schmoes Know, because I thought Riddick was awesome. Like, sci-fi movies in general this year have just been my favorite things to see, because I thought Elysium was great. I love Star Trek. And this one, too, it felt like I was watching The Thing a little bit.
Right.
When you guys are, there's a big part of the movie when they're in this kind of bunker, and it's no longer me versus you. It's humans versus this other shit that's happening outside in the rain. So,
well, I mean, what I liked about the movie, and I actually saw somebody that didn't like it.
What's their name and address?
Jeremy Johns. no, he, you know, what he didn't like was that it felt like there were three completely different movies. That's the thing that I liked the most about it, was that you had three very distinct different pieces of this movie that all went together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I loved it. That's what I loved the first time I saw it, was like, wow, this is like three different movies that like seamlessly went together.
Right. Well, and I had rewatched Pitch Black and Chronicles right before seeing Riddick.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I said this before, but I'm like, I really felt like it took the best parts of both that worked really well and put them into Riddick.
Right. Right.
You know?
Well, and I think you needed this movie before you went down to the Necromonger world or down to the Underverse.
What are those things called?
Necromongers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows all the lingo, too.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you're not going to stump her on that kind of shit, especially with all the Battlestar stuff she had to learn and stuff. The Necromonger's like cake.
It's like a quarterback going to like a new system. It's like, oh, no, an XYZ out in this offense is something different.
Right.
But
Well, let me tell you, I stole the playbook before that.
Let me tell you, too, because I said this again in our review as well. My thing, too, one of my issues, and it's not because you're in the room. I thought you were underused, to be completely honest with you. I think that...
I know what you're seeing. You're talking about. Yeah.
No, you stop it.
What?
You just...
They couldn't afford the right one.
See, that's what I wanted to do, because the left one is in there, but I would have started a Kickstarter campaign to get the right one. What did Halle Berry charge? Like $500,000? We could have done
that
boys.
Insane,
well, you're lucky
right?
you didn't do Chronicles of Riddick. You would have been full frontal.
Right?
Yeah,
that was crazy.
All right, but that's not what I was talking about, you creep.
I'm sorry.
What I was talking about was the fact that you're right. Dahl is set up very well as a tough character. Mm-hmm. She's punching dudes in the face. There's a scene that I don't want to spoil anybody where she's getting into it with guys left and right.
Right.
And then there's something that happens at the end, and it just... I wanted to see more of her. And it's like, where did she go? Because she was... Her and Vin Diesel, I felt, were the two really fucking cool ones, and she kind of is gone.
David Toohey made a funny comment about it because I had asked the same thing. You know, Sorry.
See, that's why he wears a suit.
My doctor told me to avoid sports where balls flat in my face. Sorry. I totally forgot what I was going to say.
David Toohey's the director.
Yes, thank you. So David Toohey's the director, and he told me that there wasn't room for three people in the cockpit. That was literally what it came down to, and that I had to leave 2 weeks before because I had to get to Longmire to shoot. So it was just kind of the one that got kicked out of the cockpit. But he said, you know, we kind of like that it's... open and that we don't really know where you are.
It's a really cool backstory. Like when I saw the trailer for Riddick.
That's spoilers for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
In the cockpit, Katie's hanging out in the cockpit, guys. Sorry if we ruined your popcorn eating.
Hanging with cocks in a pit.
It was musical cockpit, and Katie was
but
still
you
walking.
Actually, because you weren't
the music
with the cocks.
I was not with the cocks. I wasn't. It was amazing. I don't know.
So funny to watch the contrast because like, you're like with the cocks, and Tiffany's like with the cocks. Yeah. Back and forth, like she's
I like
blushing.
Said it. And I was like,
Tiffany's like the girl whose parents didn't sign the permission slip to take sex ed, and she's like,
"What
are you
talking
about?"
Katie shows up, and I was like, "I want to say bad stuff too."
It's true.
But Katie, so you got it. You were nice enough to get us into the Riddick panel at Comic Con.
That was
honestly,
like Fort Knox, by the way.
That was the hardest, one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my entire career was get these two guys into that Riddick panel.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Don't forget, I was left alone. Yeah,
that stupid mic is
I was
working.
Left alone for 5 hours.
Yeah. Kenny manned the room with the maid while we were out and about.
Where's our engineer? Can we see if our engineer wants to hang out with
us? It was a fun day at Comic-Con because Katie was kind of like the nine members of Ocean's 11 that are useful. And then Chris and I were like Casey Affleck and Scott Kahn. Oh, you know, we're just like hanging out, racing cars outside, waiting for a phone call from Katie. But we got lucky. We got in there. That was the first time I had seen any footage of any Riddick movie.
Right.
And I made the comment at the time.
You hadn't seen Pitch Black or?
No. See, no.
Thanks for paying attention to what I say.
Seen Battlestar Galactica.
No, he still hasn't.
I'm waiting on the DVDs, kid. Right. Waiting on the DVDs. Well, so you get a
send me a text message. Instant watch.
I see this footage. And I was going to say that Katie looks like the female Boba Fett in this, where she's just kind of this badass bounty hunter where there's an element of mystery to her. You don't really know where she came from, where she's going, what's her job? Is this her day job? Is she moonlighting? And I think maybe it was more true than I thought, because a lot of fans love seeing Boba Fett in the original trilogy.
Right.
But they don't get a whole lot of him. So maybe we need our own Dahl. That's your name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I call her Dahla Bill. We need our own Dahla Bill movie that would be after Riddick, right?
Yeah, I think I would like to see more, like learn more about her, I think.
I think we will.
Yeah.
No, I really think that we will, you know.
So go see the movie.
So we can make more of it. Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what's funny, though? I think that people see the movie and they think that it's doll, like D-O-L-L, like a baby doll.
Ellis did until 2 seconds ago.
There was a line in where Matt Nabel's character at one point where I punch Santana in the face. He says, don't fuck with that German DNA. Or something like that. Mm. And so you understand that Dahl, then, if you know anything about German last names, Dahl is actually a German last name. And it was actually my grandmother's maiden name.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's awesome.
Did you know?
Was your grandmother a bounty hunter on a distant planet?
Yes, she was. It was amazing.
Well, so, you know, here's a question then, too, because I actually saw the interview that you did with Tiffany Smith.
Yay!
And you had said one of the things that was cool was that Vin Diesel actually told you, if you love this character as much as he loves Riddick, that you should go and make your own character and really know about him, and they'll let you fly with it. What did you create about Dahl that, like, what was the... And I'm sure you wanted to kind of detach a little bit from Starbuck and make a difference. So.
I tried. You know, I mean, there's always going to be comparisons. They're both blonde. They're both, like, badasses.
They
both
look similar.
I mean,
badass girls in
same face.
Same bone structure.
Same tattoo.
It's weird. It's very weird. Same left tit. It's just... it's a really, really hard thing to distinguish.
You notice the left tit here. It looks the same as the left tit.
I've seen this titty before.
I want to go back to the tit scene in a second, too.
That's one of the things that Vin said to everybody, is that you have to do backstory, because nobody's going to know this character as well as you do. And if you've done your work and you come back and you've done the work, then you're going to be right.
Right.
In every argument or discussion or anything you have about the character, you will be right.
And the chemistry is pretty good with you guys.
I loved Vin. Still really good friends with Matt Nabel, who played, I don't even want to say his last name.
Oh,
yeah.
Oops.
I don't know. It kind of gives it away, right?
Yeah, you said his name twice. One more
you
and he appears in studio.
You can look that up
on
IMDb.
Yeah, I guess.
He was great in the role, too.
Amazing. Matt Nabel.
Yeah, he was.
But he did not show his boob.
Can I tell you, that guy, literally, Matt Nabel, his first movie was, what's the name of that movie that came out with De Niro 4 years ago?
The one with Righteous Kill with Pacino?
No.
Damn it.
Wait, it wasn't, it was, god damn it, what the fuck was it called?
Who was
anyway,
it?
I'll remember. That was Matt Nabel's first movie.
Wait,
it was like,
was it
Matt Nabel's first movie. It was like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if Schmobile knows.
Facty.
Hey, let's get Josh the intern on this. Where is he? Oh, he's out of the office. What a shock.
Here's a question.
Anyway, so Matt Nabel is a fantastic actor who really didn't start acting until he was probably 38, and now all of a sudden he's in like five massive box office movies. Wow.
Yeah, he was great. And your guy's, like, I want to know your guy's backstory, too, like that relationship. Yeah. It's all very interesting to me, so I want to see more in this this universe.
We had a good time together, Matt and I did, and we created a lot of backstory between the two of us, and we created that I was his number two, and that he trusts me more than anybody.
That definitely played.
We invented all of that shit.
Cool.
Killer Elite was the name.
Thank you.
I just remembered it, and I had somebody flash it at me. Thank you, Mark Reilly.
Thank you. Yeah, Killer Elite was his first movie, and I was like,
I like that movie. Wow. Jason Statham. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
There are parts of it I enjoyed very much.
Fun movie.
All right, so I want a couple questions here from Schmobile that's coming in. Now, somebody had asked, at Canadian Pat 493, question.
No, I will not show you my right boob.
No, forget it. Next question. Question for Katie. What's the difference between working on TV and working on film?
Oh, God. For the most part, there's actually a lot of differences. TV, you have to kind of, it's a slow burn, and you kind of can't put all your energy out there in the first episode because you've got 10 more or in Battlestar 22 more. So but in a movie, you know, you have 2 or 3 months of hard fucking work, mm-hmm. and you can leave it all on the floor and you never have to see that character again.
Mm-hmm. Is it a quicker clip that you're shooting at? Like, is it longer days doing TV because the turnaround's quicker?
Well, TV, you typically shoot between 7 and 9 pages of dialogue a day, which is about 4 to 6 scenes, depending. In movies, you shoot maybe 2 pages a day. Maybe. And if there's a big fight scene, it usually takes 2 days. So it's really slow. There's a lot of sitting. Sorry. There's a lot of sitting around on movies going.
Yeah. Well, see, that brings me to my next point. I don't want to harp on this scene, but I'm just wondering, when you do a nude scene, are you just standing around? Tiffany, I got to know this for when I do nudes.
I wish there was like a tally going up every time.
That he brings
Mark
it up. Before we get into it, here's the thing that I want to say about this scene.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, and you're a friend, so I want to be honest with this and not just say it. I didn't understand the point of it. I'm not complaining about it.
Oh, I understood the point.
But I don't understand. It felt like, and again, you don't have to respond to this, but from my opinion on it, is it felt very like just, hey, this girl's around like 6 or 7 dudes and now she's topless. Why? Like,
there's actually a purpose behind it. Number one, we needed me out of that uniform. Because it was very masculine, so I had to get into a different uniform and we had to justify me changing.
You just see femininity.
Number two,
this is why she's a beautiful woman. To talk about it.
He needed a mirror, a compact of some sort for the next scene.
Right.
And so they knew that the only character he could take it from was a woman, which is me.
Okay.
Yeah, you want Matt Navel putting his makeup on?
And then ultimately what it comes down to is they knew that I have really good tits.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see them.
I think that's where it came out.
My question is, it was like, let's see. Do you usually wash your face
with your tits out?
Yeah.
Actually, I do.
Do you?
Yes. Do you not?
No.
Okay, so I
just turned into a slumber party. Yeah.
Only if I have something nice on that I don't want to get messed up, but I'll take my top off and
Tiffany,
I
say cockface asshole.
No.
Oh,
do it. 3 times fast. Cockface asshole.
Big sister just did it.
Could you guys have this conversation again, but slower?
can you hold this and move in and out?
And
from
can you
the
do
motion
it? Can you do it in front of a mirror, shirtless?
No, I wash my face naked every night when I go to bed because I just throw on like little I sleep in little cotton dresses.
Hey now.
Yeah.
That makes two of us.
But with no underwear, so it becomes slightly sexier. But I wash my face and then I put my dress on. So I'm always nude.
Okay, but if you're nude
talking!
On set. Stop talking! I'm trying to bring it back.
No one needs you to talk right now.
Oh, so the guy that's like, I didn't think I needed to see a boob. Now you want to hear the gross stories about washing themselves naked.
I'm still a dude.
Oh, I didn't think, no, you didn't need
what
to
did
see
I say?
Tim in that.
What I said to you was, I didn't mind seeing it, but I didn't understand, and she explained it. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, are you going to be selling the edited version of the podcast that you're going to let your wife listen to?
What did I say?
He's got to put in the thing. I didn't think you need to see boob and cut, and we go to the next break. We don't get to hear the.
Hey, so what was it anyway. Like when you were
I will. I will actually back Christian up on this one because we talked about it on the phone together.
Oh, so you're talking about this with other cast members of the podcast?
You're talking about my boobs on the phone.
I saw it before they did, and then he calls me after, and he's like, "Now we can talk about it," because I didn't want to spoil anything.
Right.
Wow, I think I'm the least creepy member here.
Yeah, slightly, which is odd.
Yeah, it's
really
a first.
Odd.
You're weird out being the guest and not the host. I'm weird out not being the pervy one.
I will let you know how every guest feels from now on.
Please. Well, everybody's read. Let's get to some more of the Schmoville questions
Truthfully, another reason for it, just really quick, is they really were going after that R. and they wanted to do everything that they could to get that R rating. And, you know, every girl in the movie, for the most part, was fucking nude. I mean, minus Carrie Hilson. But, you
know,
here's
the thing. Wait, every girl in the movie was nude. You're
minus
the only
Carrie.
One.
Yeah. That's not true. There are the girls in the fucking opening that are all nude.
Like, if I have to see...
Lisa wasn't sucking on titties.
If I have to look at Vin Diesel's naked body... In that first shot, you know, when it's like him against the moon.
Yeah, why can't we get some naked man?
You
more
did.
Naked, more than that.
We did. That was a nice ass, though.
It reminded me of in Conan when I was like, that scene was just there. So I
just
could see
there to see his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
To prove that squats work.
All right, but this is not. This
That's
is
how
not,
I wash my face. I walk out to a mountain ledge and I bring some aloe with me.
I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Can we.
I made her snort. Write that in the scoreboard. I made Sackoff snort.
Can we move on for nips and ass, or are we still staying there for a second?
I don't know where you go.
Okay, so. Well, we talked a little bit about the panel at Comic-Con. How different is it for you coming and doing the panel for Riddick versus when you would go and do stuff for Battlestar? Because is it a little more nerve-wracking?
I think that it's everything magnified, to be honest. You know, like, people love Battlestar Galactica. I mean, it's the only reason that they cheered for me when I came out on the stage for Riddick. It's they absolutely love that show. And they love it more now than they did 5 years ago when
DVDs,
it was
Netflix,
actually
yeah.
on the... The television and that box thing that hangs on your wall. I think that it's just everything on a much larger scale, and there's more at stake.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, in this, a weird way,
the first
if you
big
have,
sci-fi movie.
It's well, it's
you've done?
Yeah, and it's weird too because if you have a bad episode in television, it's fine because you got 11 more or
right.
22
and
more.
You can make up for it, right?
Right. I mean, if you have a bad there's
you have a bad movie. It's a shitty movie.
Well, you hope that there's a sequel. You hope that there's a sequel.
There's a question too, because there are early reviews out. Again, plugging our own, you can check our review on either our website or YouTube. But there are a lot of reviews out there right now.
Right.
How are you liking the reviews so far? Are you looking at any of them besides the people you know or what? How do you think the response has been so far?
I think that I think the fans are. Excited.
Yeah.
I think they're enjoying it. I mean, if Rotten Tomatoes is any indicator at all, the tracking is great for this movie. I mean, the tracking for this movie is higher than I've ever seen any movie. It's so high. Mm-hmm. You know,
you're welcome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I kind of know people over there. Just saying.
This article just came out in Variety saying that we're gonna blow knock on fucking every piece of wood in this place, but like blow through the 20 millions this weekend, which is where it's tracking. You know, it may not
really?
Happen, but that's where it's tracking, which is huge.
That's
you know,
great.
I think that it also goes to show how much fans had to do with this movie being made.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because 100%
the company. He was like, kind of holding back on it. And then everybody was like, when's the next one? When's the next one?
Well,
when's the next one?
You know, fans, people love watching Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
He plays these incredibly strong, tough, flawed characters. And for some reason, you root for him every time. Even his character in Fast, he's a bad dude. Like, he like fucking stole cars and was in prison and shit. And you're like, win!
Yeah.
I want you to win, please.
Well,
to
steal
kill
that.
Well,
at least
any
in Fast,
you have
though,
to.
He has like the family thing. Because I asked him in this one, I was like, Riddick is not nice.
But wait,
like,
no. but wait,
rarely
but,
does he do a nice thing.
But the way he got everybody on his side, he got a dog.
He got a dog.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's
well,
true.
I think that was incredibly smart because to have one person in an entire, I mean, it made you sympathetic to him.
Mm-hmm.
It made you hate Santana and his crew. It really served, having that dog served so many purposes. Women in the audience like almost started crying. Like it was the sweetest thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
What'd
if you're
you spoil?
A woman,
what?
It's a spoiler.
I was
pausing her from doing a spoiler.
It didn't. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
Ted dies.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Be great
fucking,
if like
the fucking teddy bear dies.
You still get shit for that?
Sometimes.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember when I ruined Ted for everyone? I'm like, the fucking bear dies. What?
I never got that. If you're going to see it because you actually want to see if the teddy bear lives or not, then you're going to the movie for the wrong fucking reason. Like,
right?
You go for the funny lines.
You go to watch him, like, squirt lotion all over his hands and jack off at the grocery counter. That's why you go.
All right. Oh, that's fantastic.
Let's get a few more.
You're picturing it now, aren't you?
I'm picturing being a little kid and you reading me the story of Ted as I fall asleep. Like, and then the little bear put lotion on his hands.
His hands.
Yeah. Now, if you'll excuse me, mommy's got to go wash her face naked.
All right. I want to get a couple questions from Schmoville, whether it be tweeting, Facebook. So make sure at Schmoes know and have any questions you have for Katie, tweet them in right now. But here's one from our buddy George McCann. Katie, was it hard working with green screen and what were the positives and the negatives?
Green screen for me is really easy. I actually really enjoy it. You know,
Why do you enjoy it so much?
Because I think that you can pretty much do whatever you want. You know, you're really not working with another actor. You know, you're working just all in your own imagination and getting ideas and stuff from the director. But for the most part, you're just creating it all in your head and imagining what this thing looks like.
Right.
Tell you, hey, there's going to be a dragon over there.
Well, he didn't even say that. He was like, they're all over the place. Just shoot wherever the hell you want to, and I'll add them in later. So,
How heavy are the guns? Are they real?
Yeah, yeah.
The guns are really heavy. And my character seemed to, minus Batista, because that gun was like, that was pretty insane.
Who'd win in a fight between Batista and Vin Diesel, honestly?
Oh, I got to give it to Batista.
Batista's
so huge. He's so huge.
Massive. Yeah.
Can Vin, Vin fights well on film, but can he really fight?
I don't know. I've never seen
him.
No, but you know what I mean.
You know what I mean, though. Like, is he like a tough dude?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, he's got incredible coordination. Like, he's one of those guys that picks up, like, when you're doing a fight scene with someone, the worst thing is when you've got to teach them over and over and over again because they just don't understand,
But he gets it.
He gets it. Like, he learns it really fast. It's all just like a big dance, you know? And if you're, yeah.
That guy, he just loves grappling with wrestlers, man. He fights with wrestlers. I mean, the Rock, that fight, still Fast Five. But anyway.
Oh, that fight was great.
So good.
That was a good fight.
All right, green screen fun.
Green screen fun. Woo.
All right. I have a couple of questions here now. Some Facebook ones. And we're going to go to break and come back with Katie. But one of the things I want you to talk about, apparently you just went to the last UFC fight.
I did.
And watched Josh Barnett kick the shit out of Frank Mir.
Josh Barnett kicked the shit out of Frank Mir.
And I love Frank Mir. He's one of my favorites. But
That was a good match.
Well, you just destroyed him. So how was that your first UFC fight? I know you've been to Strikeforce tons of times, but
it was my first UFC fight.
How was that?
I was boycotting until they
signed him.
Josh Barnett a contract.
Yeah.
Who's that dude?
Josh Barnett's our buddy.
Oh, really?
He's a heavyweight. He was like one of the first UFC champions that they gave the title.
He was like 23 when he won.
And then he left. They gave the title to, I think, Frank Mir as well, too. So this was kind of like a match back and
just
forth.
It's exciting being in the crowd, right? Because there's so much electricity in the air.
Yeah, I think that it was kind of the UFC's way of welcoming Josh back and saying goodbye to Frank. You know?
Yeah, I think so,
too.
I
think that he's lost three in a row, and you know, I think that this might be the retirement of Frank. I could be wrong.
The fight in Vegas?
No, in Milwaukee for the Harley-Davidson 110th. I went for both.
Did you ride to fucking Milwaukee on a motorcycle?
We didn't know because I was working and dealing with Meatball. But I would have had he not been sick. I would have just had to leave six, 7 days earlier. Right. But
Meatball is a dog, not like a meatball.
Yeah.
Meatball is
my dog.
It'd be great if you had this weird fetish. Like, oh, no, I got to take care of the meatball. It's like, it's a meatball.
That's Meatball in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put him up in the camera. There you go.
You see it?
There's little Meatball. Meatball's doing better. We had a little Twitter campaign, and now the dog is breathing well, kicking ass.
But
I kind of went. I didn't go after a company. I told the fans to do it. Basically, I was disappointed in a online. A very big online medical supply company because they had said they would give me something and then they didn't because of the liability of it being with a pet.
Mama Dragon's coming out.
And I went a little ballistic because it's when it comes to your child or your dog, or anything that needs your help that you're responsible for, mm-hmm. Get out of my way.
Yeah,
get out of my way.
I would highly recommend looking at Katie's Twitter feed and seeing what she was able to accomplish. It was pretty great. But we'll talk to Katie a lot more about this. We'll talk to her about some other questions you guys have. We're going to go to break here right now, and we'll be back in like 2 minutes. There's a couple things I want to talk to Katie about, a couple rumors that were started.
Yeah, and I got a question, too. Yeah. I got a dietary question.
All right, let's hold it. Save it. So again,
I want to talk about motorcycles.
All right, well, submit all your questions. Again, at Schmozno, hashtag at Schmozno Podcast, so we know to ask Katie the question as well. And we'll be back in a second. Schmozno Podcast, Christian Arnold, Mark Ellis, Tiffany Smith, Katie Sackler.
listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording, you a**hole?
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall.
Just to find the thing you wanted.
Isn't even there at all. Amazon.com is the answer. Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle. Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff System too.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new sportsguru.com for all the hottest training videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new sportsguru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
Hey, Toad Hop listeners, this is Justine Marino,
Mark Ellis,
and Josh McCuga.
From Three's Too Much.
We're on the live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. PST.
It's an hour of hardcore fluff.
It's Yankin.
And if you miss Three's Too Much, go back and watch it on the ToadHopNetwork.com or download the audio from iTunes.
And while you're there, why don't you go ahead and subscribe, leave a comment, and rate the show. What's the name of that show, Justine?
Three's Too Much. Someone get me a donut.
I got it this time.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Welcome back to the Schmoes No Movies podcast, joined by Christian Harloff and Tiffany Smith. I am Mark Ellis. We're joined by Katie Sackhoff. We're talking everything from face-washing tips to her role in the new film, Riddick. And this segment of Schmoes Know is brought to you by ComicBookMovie.com. ComicBookMovie.com. Christian, most of the fans on there are really appreciative of our work.
A
good percentage of them are really, really nice to us.
Comic Movie has some great fans, and there are like people who love comic books just like us and movies just like us. But there are some up there,
these guys are dicks! Hey, you know what? It makes the nicer comments that much better when you get a couple, fuck you, Ellis.
Well, we also bring a comic book movie for a reason, too, because, look, there were a lot of rumors going around the internet. And you, Katie, had also been able to, you talk about social media and stuff that it has done. There's two roles that have been circulating around your name.
Her name's been circulating around the roles, I believe.
Whatever. You got what I was saying, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This week until my movie's been on, and then it switches back to the other one.
Well, this movie coming out is a perfect timing now. Perfect timing for this. Because how about, first of all, let's talk about this Ms. Marvel thing. Okay? Because Marvel today had announced that they actually want to do a female lead superhero film. And one starts thinking, Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. / Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Tiffany
Wait,
always.
It's the same dude? It's a transgender situation?
What's the difference? What's the difference?
It's the same person. It's just now called Captain Marvel.
So she was promoted or something.
Instead of like Ms. whatever.
Oh, she's a captain, but it's still a woman.
It's incredibly sexist.
Still a woman.
I believe in females that can kick ass.
Now, Katie, this rumor. I think one of our fans and then us kind of started this thing.
Because I haven't heard it.
You're lying through your teeth.
It was born in Schmoville?
Yeah, it was born in Schmoville. But
it's a good place to live.
So have you, from that, did you hear anything at all? Like, did anybody call you that counts from it?
What's the studio that has it?
Marvel.
No, I mean like the actual studio.
Well, Disney or Marvel, yeah.
It's DC Comics, which is why it's weird.
Nothing yet from Disney or Marvel or anything yet?
There's been some stuff.
Okay. Some phone calls. Okay. Have there been some unlisted block numbers that are calling the Sackhoff residents talking about Miss Marvel?
What, without getting yourself in trouble, what can you tell us about the stuff?
There's been a lot of checking of availability.
For Marvel movies.
I don't quite know exactly. I don't know.
What for when in the future? Like when are they asking if you're in town?
Would it be Avengers?
I don't know. There's been a lot of questions about the first quarter of next year. And then
phase.
That's the best time to get Katie because it's all cold where she likes to ride the motorcycles and be dangerous. So.
Okay. So, again, one of the reasons I think that this definitely makes a lot of sense, too, because Vin Diesel has been rumored very much to a lot. And now he's doing Groot for Guardians of the Galaxy.
And possibly some whole other franchise.
From other franchises. Did you meet anybody through, and this isn't necessarily of meetings or, I mean, excuse, like, you know, deals wise, but did you meet anybody of that caliber through Vin? Like, meaning, like, you know, did were there,
I get what you're saying.
Well, I mean, like, were there meetings that he had with certain people who make those decisions over at Marvel that he maybe introduced you to some of these people?
I don't know.
You don't know if you've met them.
I don't know if I've met them.
Okay.
No, here's what you do. You're at a party with
stuff.
Vin, and you know, you're celebrating Riddick, because that's what movie stars do. They hang out before the movie. Mm-hmm. And then there's these executives that come up, like the mayor. They have cigars. That's how you can tell they're big time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Katie, I'm interested in doing a project with you as well. You should come into my office. That kind of stuff.
But you just made it sound so, like, skeevy and dirty.
That's Hollywood, kids. It's a dirty, dirty town underneath all that slightly beautiful
true.
Tinsel.
Well, what they did, though, is
you
that they...
You almost said beautiful tits.
I may have almost said...
But talking about... holding up a picture here that Leanne did.
That's
Katie Sackhoff picture as Ms. Marvel. It looks like it could definitely be done. But the reason I also bring up Marvel as well is because we're part of this Facebook page, Marvel Cinematic Universe, which they have a lot of questions and characters that you could play. So I want to get to ask Katie if she would like to play Jessica Jones, Luke Cage's Lumbitress. Do you know enough about that, Tiffany, who that is? So
I'm not the biggest fan.
Oh, okay, all right.
Tiffany's got to go to the phone. That's
a
rarity.
If Tiffany was stumped, that's rare.
There's a character that is not within this universe that I had some meetings over at DC and was talking about you like the whole time.
Where?
To play. One of the other rumors that we'll talk about.
Okay, look, one of you assholes is going to have to start spitting some facts here because this is getting to be a really tough podcast to listen to. This is like your parents not telling you what you get Christmas morning.
Well, I don't want to switch rumors yet.
Well, I understand why she
maybe
wants to.
Maybe a project look, in the future that may be
don't really know.
Katie's not going to say, but here's what I think happened. I think that Katie, Marvel called her up. I think Disney Marvel called her up and said, look, we've seen Riddick. We like what you're doing here. We think you'd be good for a Marvel movie. Keep it open, and I think we're going to see Katie in a Marvel movie in the next year.
All right. See, that's what I wanted to hear. She's doing the guppy face.
Yeah.
You made Katie do a guppy face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a question for Katie, and it's kind of on that point, too, because you're really, you beefed up to play Doll, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're still very, like, in shape and attractive, but you got a lot of muscle on you, you know?
So
you can. I saw my grandfather talking about an LPGA golfer. You know, Mac, that... They don't have the biggest breasts in the world, but, you know, they're beefed up. They can hit the ball a long way.
Just stop. You're just digging a hole right now.
But you were doing a live tweet, so you know how to get in shape these kind of roles. You were doing
you
a live
so
tweet.
You are so red right now.
This is how I open dates, by the way.
Like, that explains a lot.
It explains so much.
Yeah. Hey, beefy boobs. Don't eat all that pasta.
What a beefy boob.
Leanne, make
a picture, a poster for beefy boobs.
Can we do a hidden
starring
camera?
Josh the intern.
Can we do a hidden camera on Dallas's dates?
Ellis,
sure, if you got a DeLorean to find out exactly when that's going to be.
He hasn't had dates in a year.
What do you mean, good one? You literally
told you about a dalliance I had this past week.
I'm trying to go with your shtick. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's my shtick, buddy. That's my shtick.
Didn't I say I'm trying to go with your shtick?
It's like that thing. It's like I can talk shit about my family, but if you do, I will cut you.
I've been doing the show with him for 6.5 years. I didn't know he was going to get tested.
I don't like when other boys touch my shtick. Now, So I was reading something on Twitter last night. You did some live tweeting with the fans.
Yeah.
And one of them asked you, you know, how do you get in this, like, great shape to play these kick-ass heroines?
Yeah.
And I read the answer. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. 5,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
What do you eat?
Peanut butter fudge.
But that makes you fat, Katie. It makes you fat.
But if you look at the character, I purposefully didn't get – I wasn't cut. Like, I had a lot of muscle, but there was still fat over the top of it. And I did that because I wanted bulk. I wanted to, and I'm not going to get big like a bodybuilder and just get bigger and not have fat. I needed some of that.
So did you have like a gut one, like a peanut butter fudge?
No, but I was holding on to like a layer of fat on my body. It was it was like a Christmas layer of fat with massive amount of muscle underneath it.
It's got to be so much fun just to sit around and just, I imagine it's like a big bowl. Remember Barf from Spaceballs? He just eat like a big tub of cookie dough?
Right.
Is that what you're doing?
It was, well, not really.
You have a trainer there to tell you what to eat and when?
I didn't. My trainer kicked my ass before I went. And then when I got there, I was training with all the guys, which I actually put on about 5 more pounds of muscle while I was there.
Yeah.
Because the weights on set were like, they started at 30 pounds. So it was like, okay, well, it's not like I'm going to be curling 15s. I guess I'm going to curl 30s.
Badass.
And how long did you shoot the film for again?
I think like 2 months.
2 months. Wow.
But they were there for like another month or another 2 weeks.
Right. And that's where you were going through that hellish schedule to where you had, it was the movie, then Longmire that you just didn't stop, right?
Yeah,
and
that was a lot.
And it was Sexy Evil Genius too, wasn't it?
Yeah, right before.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because I went into Riddick with my back injury from Sexy Evil Genius.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, okay.
Lying through the pain.
Now, we got to go through this other rumor now, because we talked about Ms. Marvel. Now, there was a lot of Harley Quinn talk, because you had mentioned it in the magazine, that that's who you wanted to play. Now, there, I can't say where I heard this, and you don't have to confirm or deny, but I heard that there was a company that was interested in doing a Harley Quinn series that they want you to do.
She just made a really awkward face.
That's because
she
said, wasn't Guppy,
she
but
wants
it was
to know how the hell I knew that.
Want to know how the hell you knew that, actually.
You know who I heard it from?
Yeah.
Christian Harlock. Yeah. So what's the could you see yourself playing Harley Quinn?
100%. Wow, I'm going to get really egotistical.
Please do.
I don't see a lot of other women in the business that could do the both sides of Harley Quinn.
They can't eat peanut butter fudge like you can.
No, this is
for Harley, I'd have to get smaller. Really,
yeah,
I'd
she's
have
tiny.
To.
She's kind of
thin,
and she's wiry, and she's
really
you get to,
wiry.
You get to do
she's
that
like
crazy
gymnast
thing that you did on Workaholics almost, but in
but
a more
smaller.
She's like
what's her name? Fuck. Oh my God, why am I doing this? California.
Julia Roberts.
Juliette Lewis.
Oh.
She's like Juliette Lewis body.
Oh,
like
yeah,
small,
yeah.
Wiry, right. Skinny.
I did my prediction before. I'm going to do my prediction now. I think that this company has contacted Katie. I think Katie is going is in negotiations. I think Katie's going to wind up playing Harley Quinn for this company in this show.
Wow. I like what our show
does. You're doing
does.
A lot of predictions.
Because I wanted that prediction one because that face was like, how the fuck did he know that? That was the face.
Well, I did. I went on a tour of the DC offices last week just because you guys know I'm a comic book nerd and that we were talking about like some Batman villains that we would like to see. And I'm a huge Gotham City Sirens.
How come they don't really do any good female villains?
Well,
that's
what I said
There's
to
so
them.
So many evil
like,
women.
I thought Anne Hathaway.
I know you hate Anne Hathaway, but I thought Anne Hathaway was
good. Oh, my
God.
I thought Anne Hathaway did a really good
Here's
job.
Here's what I'm
Tiffany
saying.
Tiffany hates Anne Hathaway so much. Oh, she hates her.
Do you?
She hates her. Why
it's
do you hate her?
It's
so
a thing, isn't it?
I don't hate her.
I hate all the blonde actresses.
I think she was amazing in the movie. I don't know that we would be friends in real life.
You hate her so
much.
Oh,
right. No, you would not
this
be friends
totally
in real life.
This is totally what girls do in high school.
No, Katie,
I love you, but like that other girl's a bitch.
No.
He's like, no, you're great.
I don't
like,
know.
You're awesome, but every other girl in the universe is a bitch.
Katie hates blondes too.
Did you just hear what she said?
What?
Yeah. Well, listen, I have never met Anne. I think she's a fucking phenomenal actress.
Mm-hmm. She's incredible.
Got some pipes on her.
She doesn't seem like the most warm human being ever.
Well,
I've never met. I don't know anything about
and
her.
And I do think that the female villain roles are
she's more
hard.
Hoth than Tatooine.
Yeah.
They're really she's hard to play.
Phenomenal actress.
Because I think that a lot of girls don't want to get ugly.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to get ugly.
It's
and
true. There are very few.
Your vanity needs to go out the window when you play these characters.
Well, that's what was so great about, again, like Sigourney Weaver back in the day, too. Like she, and I know that's one of your idols, too. And that the stuff that she did, she'll shave her head. She'll look crazy. She could look very pretty as well. You see her in Ghostbusters and Working Girl, but then you see she nitty gritty. You have to throw it out the window. Look at Charlize Theron, by the way, who is a very beautiful woman.
But
of the
she
most...
had to like fight to be able to play those roles. Too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but she went so ugly when she
Monster,
knew
yeah,
there was
yeah.
going to be an Oscar. Like when you go that ugly, when you're that hot,
then
you go
an
that
Oscar
ugly
just to be, like it's like sympathy
it's like shoesy
Oscar.
Pants and a wig.
Yeah. I want to paraphrase Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. She didn't go half ugly. She went full ugly for Monster. And what'd she get? She got a statue. Yeah. And she's hot again.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, she's able to go back and forth.
I'd take her on a date. I'd take her beefy boobs on a date.
Now, as long as we're doing rumors here, can I ask you one more thing, rumor wise? So there's a lot of talk.
I don't know of anymore. No,
there's some rumors that you went in to read for episode 7 for Star Wars.
Ooh,
is
man.
This true?
That'd be
false?
Exciting. This is a deep cauldron of shit that we're cooking up here.
It is false, completely false. I don't know false. Anything about that.
Damn it. All right, that one I made up.
Okay,
the other two.
I was like, right, I don't know anything about that.
The other two were real. That one I made up.
We got to run with that. Yeah. Here's what happened. An executive.
It was fish. It was a good fish.
Yeah, you were. It was a good fish.
Somebody from Disney called Katie. And they sent her a care package. And in that care package...
She's playing Luke Skywalker in the moment.
I did get an anonymous bottle of champagne on my porch this morning.
You're welcome. Uh-oh. Thanks for doing the show. We like having you back.
Yoda ears on the side of it. I want to take a call here from Schmoville, and we have a question for Katie. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, it's Joseph Hemington from Australia here.
Hey, Joe, you got a question for Katie Sackhoff?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, who the fuck is Katie Sackhoff?
Hey, how's it going?
What do you got, buddy?
Okay.
Hi.
If, Kathy, you had to cross over Riddick with any universe in any movie or book or whatever, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good one.
What was the question?
If you could cross over your character in Riddick into any universe, book or movie, what would it be?
Oh, my God.
Where would Dahl be able to hang?
You know where I think Dahl would be really good? I think Dahl would be very, very good on a weekly series on HBO.
Awesome.
As like kind of the leaders of the Mercs.
I love that. You're good at being bounty hunters too. You played one again in the Clone Wars as well.
Yeah, I think that it would be a really good. I think that it's every episode. You know what you're gonna get.
Right.
You
yeah.
know? I mean, you know.
I can see Dahl. I can see Dahl hanging out at the Mos Eisley Cantina from Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just post up at the bar, giving some Wookiees the eye. I see you hooking up with a lot of Wookiees.
You can see
a lot of Wookiees.
I see you sleeping with a lot of hairy beasts.
A lot of hairy beasts. Will you be awesome? That's right.
Only with one
fantastic.
Boob out,
did only, you tell?
Do you have my blessing?
But have you told your? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure how that works too. But let's say you want to find out what the hell's going on with episode 7 because you obviously should be reading for it, and they are reading people now. What do? You call your agent and say, get me an audition?
I don't have an agency.
Oh, really? You got no, just the manager?
Yeah, no, I let go of my agency 6 months ago.
Oh, okay.
I know what we do. We do what Elijah Wood did to get the role of Frodo in Lord of the Rings. Here's what we're going to do. We'll show
We'll
go out to the woods, and I'll bring my video camera, and you go climbing in trees, show them your athleticism, you know?
That's all we do.
Yeah, get bummed up. We send it in to Skywalker Ranch or wherever, the Presidio in San Francisco.
Yeah, let's do that.
They're like, why the fuck is she in trees?
But wait, we talked about Katie, what she did with it, with Meatball and everything too, and the Twitter thing. Let's do that for Schmoville. Do it, Katie. How about Katie Sackhoff for a role in episode 7? Let's use a Twitter and start that rumor
They're
now
gonna
too.
I'm going to be like a rock.
Well, I would love.
What's the hashtag?
Katie Sackhoff Star Wars.
Why Katie not? Sackhoff Star Wars.
Hashtag Katie Sackhoff episode 7. Hashtag Katie Sackhoff episode 7. We'll get it.
Roman numerals, guys.
Yeah,
Roman numerals.
Let's do that. Let's start a bid for Katie Sackhoff in
Roman
Star
numerals.
Wars.
You only use Roman numerals for Super Bowls and Star Wars episodes.
No, I'm just trying to think if you do a hashtag. Yeah, Roman numerals. Actual numbers.
Because that would be. I mean, because who?
Tiffany has signed off.
She's part of the Star Wars universe anyway. You had Clone Wars too, and I think that you could play a role in episode 7, who would you play? If you had a chance
good
to be in Star Wars, would you
be
bad? You'd be bad. You always go for the bad roles.
I do. They're more fun to play. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's say Luke, and because I know you love Han Solo, Luke Han Solo layer back, but it's a younger story now based on the kids. And there's the new.
Do we even
government.
Know who the new characters are?
If we were gonna rumor and guess, we don't know yet.
Christian,
but
if you're making her write the movie, you got to pay her extra.
But what I'm saying, if you're gonna go, let's say you go off the extended universe and it's based off the Solo kids, and one of them turns bad, okay, and there's a new government, who would you want to play? Like, what kind of character? You have this big universe.
Well, there's a reason the kid goes bad.
Yeah.
You know?
You foul temptress. You brought him to the dark side.
Well, I was going to say maybe I'd kill his parents.
Ah, you would be the one to kill Han Solo. You would love that. How ironic would that be? You wanted to be Han Solo as a kid, and now you can kill him.
I think Han Solo has his eye wandering, and I think he sees what happened to Carrie Fisher, and he's like, I'm going to go sleep with this younger chick. And Carrie Fisher catches him in bed, she fries him like Luke's aunt and uncle got fried in episode 4, and then now we have our movie.
All right.
No picture.
Done.
It sucks we only have 10 minutes left with Katie, but hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey guys, it's Matt Brown.
Hey Matt, what's up, dude? So what
call
do you got?
Call me Roy.
Yeah, call me Roy. What do you got for Katie?
I actually just got back from seeing Riddick at the theaters.
Nice.
And what'd you
wow.
think?
And well, I was a big fan of the first two, so I was hoping it would be good, and I really dug it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about Dahl?
I'm pretty much on the same page with you, but because if you look at Pitch Black, Rhonda Mitchell's character was such a strong, I would say she was even more of a lead. So, you know, you have these big shoes to fill, and I would have liked to see more of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe we'll get a fourth Riddick movie and maybe we'll see the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's an interesting thing.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, dude. You know, Dahl was meant to be one of the guys. She wasn't meant to stand out. She was meant to be one of these nine guys. And that's
a testament to you, though. The fact that people are saying that as well, though. The fact that you, because I've seen that a few other times, too. I wanted to see more Katie, more Katie, mm-hmm. more Katie. And it's Battlestar fans and stuff as well. But it's also, it has to say a lot about what mm-hmm. you're doing and the fact that you have that kind of presence to where they're like, give me more of this woman.
It was badassery. It was never like, oh, okay, let's let Buttercup have some lines. It was, no, she was playing with the boys.
I want to see her fight those aliens, you mm-hmm. know, so.
Well,
anyway.
And I kind of think that it's a great thing because at the same time, it's like leaving us wanting more for the next one.
Well, yeah, and there's not much pressure on my shoulders, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I have to tell you. It's, you know, it's nice to be involved in a movie in a franchise like this where you can just kind of sit back and say, hope it, you know, like this is, you know, I hope people love it as much as I do and as much as the people that I've talked to have loved it. And, you know, it's nice to not, for the first big movie I've been in, to not be a lead.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice.
I mean,
it's nice.
I think that there's also, and it'll, especially when you have the personalities on that set that you did, that it also, I mean, again, Vin's been doing these big movies as well, too. And like you said, countless amount of times on this show, you learn every time you're on set. So what do you think you took out of that experience that you learned?
Truthfully, I think the main thing that I learned was something that Vin did as a producer was, you know, I've said this many times, that he makes such a great boss because he is an actor and because he knows that if you give actors responsibility and you give them the task of creating backstory, they work harder because they have pride in what they've created and they're excited. Yeah. And
well,
and
even
so,
when you said before, you're like me and John, right. So that was our thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you feel it gives you ownership.
Yeah.
And so I loved that. And so what I've learned is that I think that for every I've never really I've done backstory, but I've never really done it this in depth. I mean, and I think that what I've learned is that for every job, I'm going to do that from now on just because it's fun, it's creative, and I enjoyed it more than I thought that I would. I thought, you know, I'd always be like, fuck it, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just bullshit, my line. And I think this might have been like the first time where I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually really enjoying this whole backstory stuff. You know,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got to make it cool. You know where the character came from. You know, we don't know. You know what her parents were like. You
right.
know what her
right.
grandma was like if her grandma was also named Dahl.
Right.
You know all this stuff. Something else that you must have gotten out of this a little bit was the ability to shoot long range weaponry.
Oh, yeah.
You're like a badass sniper in this. So did you? I know you did a lot of green screen stuff, but did you actually get to shoot any guns, like, in real life? And what kind of marksman would you have made if that was your chosen profession?
I have shot the sniper rifle before, but what I've realized through shooting this gun on Riddick was that I'm actually left-eye dominant, but I'm right-handed. So
you put the gun up.
The gun actually needs to go on my left side now.
Ah, okay.
And so we didn't do it on Riddick because it was just too much to figure out with doing everything left-handed. But since then, I've gone to the range and shot on the left side, and I'm like twice as accurate. It's so great because finally it feels like it all makes sense now. Like all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God,
You're not trying so hard.
I was trying so hard to shoot on the right side of my body because my right eye is so weak.
Wow. Uh-oh, you hear that? Jilted Lovers, look out. Sackhoff knows how to shoot. He knows which eye to aim out of, man.
All right, Katie, so we got you about five more minutes. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, what's next on the horizon? Are you just wrapped Longmire?
Besides the movies we just gave you.
Yeah,
all the shit we just booked you on.
Movies, just TV series.
Yeah, so bullshit about the
Star
agency.
Wars.
Schmo's no agent. agency. We're your agents.
Could you imagine if you guys started like doing all my deals?
That's hey, can Katie be in every Star Wars?
That would be amazing.
Yeah. What do you have to pay her in? Beer?
Yes, I'm drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Just imagine Josh, the intern, leaving messages as our secretary. Uh-huh. Like some Star Wars people called.
Do you like Ghostbusters?
Josh, there's five numbers here. Wait, yeah. What's the area code?
I don't mind Rocky Five that much.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
What's next on the horizon?
Yeah,
what's next?
Okay, so I'm leaving for Toronto Film Festival this weekend. I condensed everything down to a day just because I'm so scared to leave Meatball for more than like a day or two because my biggest fear is that, you know, you've had peps and done this, gone through
Christian,
this,
you've had other life forms love you. You know what it's like.
Tazzy, the great Taz.
Taz. Yeah. Your biggest fear is they're going to leave or need to leave and you're not going to be there to make a decision for them or to kind of just be with them toward the end. So anyway, so I'm leaving for Toronto Film Festival for one day. I'm doing everything as fast as I can. And then in the next 2 days, the movie that I'm doing next will be announced. So
we're just doing the next two days?
Doing deals.
Wait a minute. I wonder if it has to do with what we were just talking about. But we'll find out. We'll find out in 2 days. All right. Yeah. And
it's not a first quarter movie.
Oh, all right.
It's exciting. She'll be at TIFF. That's the left TIFF, not the right TIFF.
You should drop the mic and just walk the fuck out.
I was like, what are you talking about me for?
Yeah.
You're my left.
Last time you were on the show, you called in for our 100th show and we talked to, and then we were talking about
Where was I? Oh, I was drinking in Santa Fe.
And you talked about, we were talking about Ripped Apparel, and you said, I still haven't gotten a shirt. A Ripped Apparel shirt.
It's true. Haven't. I mean, I guess I could have been proactive and done it myself.
Nice. Oh, my.
How great is that?
It is awesome. So say we all.
With
it
the
is
wings
a,
and everything.
It's pretty cool. It's a Starbucks shirt courtesy of Ripped Apparel. This is your first shirt.
Is that her on the shirt?
Yeah.
You're wearing a shirt of yourself.
She's got brownish hair in it. But it
oh, that's cool.
This is for you.
This is amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I haven't seen. This is fantastic.
It's pretty badass, right?
This is amazing.
Yeah, 2 years like when we give Maria Menounos, we give her
the Breaking Bad shirt,
and she had tweeted it to us. Just when you wear it, and I'll send it to Rip because they were excited to.
Sure, 100%. Yeah. This is fantastic. The first time I went to a convention with Scott, it was like 8 years ago, and I was at a convention, and he was like wandering the floor and came back with a fucking t-shirt of my face.
Oh, wow.
But like a massive, like,
like,
I mean,
a photo of just your face?
His entire chest was my face, and just I was like what are you doing? And he was like, you're on my chest.
That's
awesome.
Honey,
yeah, that's
look at what I got.
It's fun to
funny.
Well, we saw that too, and I think Tiffany had actually pointed out because the design, they come out Ripped Apparel, guys. If you don't know, the in the code this month
that's
to
awesome.
Get $1 off is SK Riddick. So if you type in SK Riddick, you get $1 off the shirt.
SKRIDDICK.
Yeah, we
take it. And I have that t-shirt too, so next time around we can both wear them together.
Can we both
wear them? Yeah, exactly. So,
that'd be fantastic.
So Ripped Apparel, thank you very much.
I'm going to cut the Cylon out so my left boob pops.
Just make sure you're not wearing it when you wash your face.
Do you imagine if I came and my left head was just out?
Next time.
I can't imagine that, actually.
Yeah, well, so left tits, wedgies.
So with a pasty, because you haven't paid for it.
Left tits, wedgies, the dragon calls, Katie Sackhoff back in Snowville. And Katie, we hope to have you back really soon.
Yes.
We have to do our Q&A show that we did last time where you will be the moderator. We just got to figure out when we can make that work again.
Yeah.
Have fun in Canada, kid. Enjoy.
Next time I'm going to bring Meatball in his baby stroller with his oxygen.
Okay, cool.
That the fans got for him.
And then we'll have, during one of the segments, we'll put some of the oxygen on JTI and see if he can handle it.
If any of those Star Wars people call you, just have them come over to us and we'll flush out all the
details.
I'll
pay you guys my 10%. And then you can go buy your motorcycle.
Yes.
Oh, nice. All right, guys. Okay, so here's what you do.
White heat.
Here's what you do. You go and you see Riddick tomorrow. Support Schmoville's own Katie Sackhoff. Check it out. Woo. Her role as Doll in the new movie with Vin Diesel. Yep. Opening tomorrow, tonight, midnight.
You get to see my boob.
There you go. That's the selling point right there.
And she gets the biggest, second biggest gun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So
I thought you were going to say something about like a dick, like a dick or something. I was like, I do not have a big dick.
I love when we're the classy ones on this show. It feels good for a change.
I said a gun.
I know, but I mean, everybody hesitates and then my mind wanders.
We could literally fart and do all this stuff and we'd still nothing. All right.
Doesn't matter.
Katie, at Katie Sackhoff. We missed you. Congratulations on everything.
Thanks.
And come back soon.
Come back soon.
Thanks,
guys,
kids.
Follow her at Katie Sackhoff. And we'll be back. Schmoes No Podcast. And we're going to be doing a town hall where we're all going to be talking about movie-related stuff. And you guys are going to be involved as well. So stay tuned.
Let's take a picture, JT.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
Does your car smell like... You need Scent Bomb. Does your house smell like... Get some Scent Bomb. Does the bathroom smell like... Get some Scent Bomb. Go to GetSomeScentBomb.com today for the best air freshener you've ever tried. We are so confident that you will love Scent Bomb that we're giving away a free bottle to the next 12 customers to type in the promo code RADIO at checkout. If you're tired of weak air fresheners, try Scent Bomb. Scent Bomb is a concentrated air freshener, so all you need is just a couple of sprays and the smell will last for days. That's right, you spray it today and you still smell it tomorrow. We guarantee that it's the best air freshener you've ever tried. So go to GetSomeScentBomb.com and enter the promo code RADIO at checkout to get your free bottle today. There's nearly 100 fragrances to choose from, so go to GetSomeScentBomb.com. That's GetSomeScentBomb.com.
Hey, Toad Hop listeners, it's the Sports Guru.
And Bud Knocker.
Coming to you every Wednesday, 5 to 6 Pacific time on the Toad Hop Network.
Check out our new NFL Game Day show, where we break down the week's games for the NFL. We bring you fantasy football reports, we've got video highlights, you got knocked the fuck out, and much, much more. So check us out.
If you missed it, go back and watch the show on ToadHopNetwork.com or download the audio from iTunes. And while you're there, subscribe, leave a comment, and rate the show. So check us out every Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Toad Hop Network.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall.
Just to find the thing you wanted.
Isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney.
Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
Live from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood.
This
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
Enhances the senses, opens your mind.
Radio worth watching.
Radio worth watching.
Yeah, peppy number to bring us back out of the locker room from halftime of the Schmoes No Movies podcast. Welcome back, everyone. I am Mark Ellis, Christian Harloff on his way in, and we just bid adieu to Miss Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica, and more recently, the film Riddick that is opening this weekend in movie theaters. You can go check it out tonight, tomorrow, this weekend. Go see it and support our good friend Katie Sackhoff. Christian, I've been yapping on this mic just long enough so Ken Knapsack did not get a word in.
Well played, boss, sir. Well played.
While Christian was nice enough to escort Katie back to her spaceship.
Yeah.
This segment of the Schmoes No Movies podcast brought to you by Ripped Apparel, who just made an appearance. We actually gave Katie her... I didn't know. That was her very first Ripped Apparel t-shirt that we've ever blessed her with.
With Katie, yeah. That was her first shirt that she's ever gotten from
and
Ripped.
And her
yeah.
own face on. But really, when, does she ever have hair that short?
I mean, in Battlestar, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. It was in the
it
first.
It was always like short, but like
first,
that's like
in the
boy
first
hair.
Like yeah, like the first season. Cat.
Yeah,
first season was super short.
First season hair was pretty short.
Yeah. Okay, was it brown too?
Make sure you go to RippedApparel.com. Awesome, check man. Out that widget yeah. that's on the Schmoes No page on the Toad Hop Network. And if you type in another Katie Sackhoff reference, SK Riddick yep. is our code for the month of September. Type that in, get $1 off the already incredible price of $10
yep.
for a shirt on Ripped Apparel. SK Riddick. And for hour two of the podcast, we got some fun stuff cooked up for you kids. kids.
Yeah, we do. And before we're going to do a whole town hall for you guys, to where every part of the crew, everyone in the crew is going to basically give something that we've been talking about. It could be anything. It could be something that you have a problem with that's going on in the movie, something you love. It could be a movie that you saw last night and an issue that you want to talk about. It's a town hall. Shmova will be part of this as well. But before we do that, there's a lot of news that happened this week. And like we promised, instead of 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. Ken Napsok, take it away.
This edition of the news sponsored by Classless Whore, Katie Sackhoff's cologne, available at most truck stops. I'm Ken Apsock, and these are your Schmozo headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. The big story of the week was another case of the rumor mill run amok. The websites Film Chronicles and Bleeding Cool ran with stories placing Benedict Cumberbatch, the reason your girlfriend wants you to fornicate with a British accent, in Star Wars Episode 7 casting landscapes. No word on what role he would play, but since we all just seem to be guessing, I'm going to report he was up for the role of Han Solo's second cousin, Humperdinck Solo, a dashing rogue spice smuggler who wants no part in the planning of Han Solo's surprise 70th birthday party. As expected, Cumberbatch's people issued a firm denial of Benedict's involvement in the movie, but it should be noted, these are the same people that looked you in the eye and said, "Con who?" So, until we know for sure, here's a toast to the internet, consistently turning locker room gossip into fact. The wait is over after a long search. Sons of Anarchy hunk Charlie Hunnam has been cast in the coveted role of Christian Grey, the lead pervert in the film adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey, the novel that is responsible for ruining more underwear than a Tom Jones concert. Grey will be tying up Dakota Johnson, daughter of Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson, to research the part. Dakota will be asking her mother what it was like to have sex with Antonio Banderas in the 90s. The film is set for an August 2014 release. The summer of 2014 will also see the arrival of Michael Bay's fourth installment of the Transformers franchise. A teaser poster for the film was released this week, revealing a lot of sand and the title Transformers: Age of Extinction. The film is said to take place in a post-apocalyptic landscape, which apparently means Wahlberg and the Autobots are going to find the Dinobots at Burning Man. The next Terminator movie has a director. Alan Taylor has been tabbed to lead the reboot of the franchise.
Yes.
Taylor is best known for his work on HBO's Game of Thrones, so perhaps this Terminator film will involve ass play. Taylor just recently directed Thor, The Dark World, so I guess he doesn't have to lie to his parents back home today what he's been doing in Hollywood. So far, the plot details have not been leaked, but according to Mark Riley of Schmozno.com, the film will be the start of a new standalone trilogy that could take place in the 1950s with The Rock as a new Terminator sent back to kill Sarah Connor's parents and Arnie back as a helpful neighbor who defends them. Though, admittedly, this could have just been one of Riley's fever dreams. after saying Will Smith was not going to be in the sequel to ID4, director Roland Emmerich is now saying there's a possibility that Smith will appear in the film and that the appearance of the A-list star is being talked about. According to inside sources, Smith is concerned for the world after witnessing Miley Cyrus twerk her junk, and he now wants to defend the world in any way possible.
The possibility is after Earth.
Go ahead.
And finally, a woman was arrested this week for felony-level stalking of actor John Cusack. Elizabeth Palki has been stalking Cusack for years, routinely attempting to enter his house or office and not even being creative enough to do it with a boombox over her head. According to Cusack, the woman claims that, quote, angels told her that we were together in a previous life and that she needs to be with me now in order for me to remember how special she was to me, which sounds like the log line of a Rachel McAdams time travel movie. Side note, total truth, and the reason I bring this up, I, Ken Napsok, Schmozno News Jerk, arrested this woman myself in 2007 after she attacked Cusack's bodyguard with a coffee bean Malibu Frost Frappuccino.
No.
She's batshit crazy, accused me of knowing Tom Cruise's plot to bring aliens to Earth, true story. And by the way, Elizabeth, you never apologized for slapping me in the face and accusing me of rape in front of the Wood Ranch's valets. Go fuck yourself. I'm Ken Napsok, and those were your Schmozno headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company.
Well, I know what story we're talking about first.
Go fuck yourself. Amazing.
I spent 3 hours with that woman at the farmer's market in 2007.
You used to work security there. You weren't
I was the director of security, as I am now at another location. And I've arrested her and I arrested Henry Hill once.
Wow.
The late Henry Hill
The
Goodfellas fame. Yeah. But I hate that woman. I'm so glad to see she got arrested again.
So
you
arrested her because she attacked somebody at that coffee
bean?
She
attacked his bodyguard.
Right in front of me.
She was
being served with a restraining order. And she just chucked the thing right in his face.
So Cusack was there?
No. I tried to negotiate
To get to meet him, but it didn't work out.
All right. So, that's insane right there. Let's talk about a couple stories first, because I want to get into this town hall thing quick. We'll just do very quick on these stories. The reason Will Smith is going to be back, like we said, it's because After Earth was a shit box. So now he's got to go and do that movie.
Yeah, boost that box office pedigree a little bit. But he's not bringing his kid with him.
No, I hope
not. I'm sorry. That picture, did you guys see the family picture of the Smiths at the MTV Awards?
Creepy?
Oh, my God. It's them watching her twerk, and Will's like, and the kids are like,
"Oh, they're mortified."
It's so funny.
Oh,
you have to look.
I heard
guys, send it in if you see it.
Yeah,
it's
please tweet
kind
in.
Of amazing.
Tweet in.
That's
that
gonna
picture.
Be my family's Christmas photo. Yeah, sure. Watching Miley Cyrus twerk.
Let's talk about the Star Wars because we talked about it a little bit too. Look, you guys know everyone here loves Star Wars, and I said this to you before too.
Christian went on a little bit of a rant. We were shooting something earlier today. We were in the green room before, and just tell the kids what you said at the time.
What I initially said was, I'm not paying attention to any of this anymore.
That's literally what he said. He sounded like my dad trying to watch the Redskins. Yeah. Like, if they're gonna play like this, I'm not gonna keep watching it. And I understand your sentiment is that
I didn't mean it.
You're still gonna. And I told you right then. I was like, you're gonna pay attention.
I'm gonna pay attention to all of it,
but you're not gonna. You can't try everything now. Comes with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and look, Mark Riley, again, who's doing just a stand-up job running the website schmozno.com. You get updated all the time with the news stories. He and I talked about this, too. We are not posting as many Star Wars stories now because there's so many of them and there's so much shit. And I don't want to just be one of those sites just posting shit to get hits on a Star Wars thing. Like the Benedict Cumberbatch one, it seemed like real because there was a site that normally doesn't post it. But then his rep said it's not true. So until somebody says, I'm doing the fucking movie, then I'm not going to buy it. Although Katie Sackhoff just said she's going to do it. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so would he be great in the movie? Sure. Do I think he's going to be in it? No.
Yeah.
One more story before we get to the town hall.
I'm thinking this Transformers thing. Unfortunately, I saw the poster and I like Wahlberg a lot, but I just can't get excited about a Transformers thing. I think that's a little bit like Star Wars news to me. Is I'm not going to get excited about a Transformers movie.
Yeah, me either.
Anymore because the third one had me with the trailer.
Yeah.
It had me with the trailer. It was going to incorporate the moon landing into this shit.
It was good. Yep.
And then the actual movie was just
even with Grimlock and the Dinobots coming. That's what I think they're banking on people to. Oh, I love the Dinobot.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
He thought you were making things up.
Yeah.
It's like I said on the Knapsack file, 60% of the shit I laugh at when you do the news is genuine laughs.
All right, well, Ken killed it at the news. It was fantastic. I'm really excited to get this town.
More than you.
I'm really excited to get this town hall thing. Now, this is something we've never done before.
You got
to
do like a.
Hey! It's the Schmozno first town hall meeting.
Issue one, the fence line between the Schmozno podcast and Three's Too Much.
On this very podcast, you'll be able to do all the news stories that you want, anything you want to get out there on the podium. Go ahead, Mark Ellis, you will be the first. Go ahead and give an issue and things that you want to say.
That
please
voice
go.
Is painful.
Yeah, it is terrible. Yes.
I had something I was going to talk about.
And now your brain is like, this is your brain on drugs.
Every time I open a tiny little can of worms, Christian has to just come in there.
Oh, this is Gary Busey. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Just try and do Vin Diesel again.
No. Did you watch that review?
No, I was last week here where you kept trying to do Vin and you kept doing Sly.
Yeah, your Vin Diesel, it wasn't bad. It's getting better.
It's getting better.
I don't see the light
on it.
At the end of the proverbial
tunnel. Hey, Willie! Go ahead.
Tunnel. Yeah, yeah. The first thing I want to bitch about was something kind of small. It's very insignificant, so I don't want to lead off with it. Yeah.
And
I'd
just
rather
to make everybody
else,
know, it's not a big, long thing. Very, like, very quick. 2 minutes, just go in and out, and we'll talk about it after Mark's done.
Okay. And maybe I've just seen too many movies now, but I'm tired of blockbusters letting me down. I'm tired of getting excited for blockbusters and then being like, because even the bigger movies that I love this year, like Elysium, that wasn't like a built-in franchise kind of blockbuster.
But for the most part, they've let you down.
These fucking sequels, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But if I was a moviegoer, then the only movies that I would probably see this year are sequels, because if you only have so much money to spend in your budget. Then I want to see Iron Man 3, and I want to see Superman, and I want to see Wolverine, and they were all like good, but it's just there just seems to be magic missing in those, and so the movies I go to now are these smaller ones, like the way back.
They're the ones with quality.
Yeah.
And, and that's the point. The question is, is it just because you're getting older, you see more movies? Because it seems that that's a lot of the, like, has there a lot of times summer normally does that. I agree with you that you get so built up and you have all these high hopes for all these movies, and then they're left. Like Iron Man 3 didn't do everything you wanted to do. Man Steel didn't do everything you wanted to do. And, there have been a lot of, like, bombs, too. Pacific Rim was fine, but nothing – like Inception was the last big blockbuster I remember, and you know, some of The Dark Knight, I guess, too.
I don't think it's an age thing, because I ran out of the Avengers like a kid with my shirt off. I was really excited, and if no other part of my life is going to mature with age, then why would my film going taste?
I think it's almost like this summer was honestly oversaturated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it felt like,
that's
like
a problem,
if we
too.
Had one or two of those movies, like if just Elysium had really come out this summer and we hadn't had everything else, I kind of feel like you'd have a better impression of it. Mm-hmm. The same thing with Iron Man 3 and then Man of Steel, because it's like you see Iron Man 3 and you're a little bit disappointed, and you go in with that bitter taste in your mouth when you're going to see Man of Steel,
because it's
and
right
you're expecting to get your mind blown like Nolan did with Batman, and it's just not quite that.
Ken?
One of my points to you, and I, you know, you guys and you two see all the movies before everyone, but you guys see almost every movie. These movies, by design, the writing of them is it's pretty simple, three-act structure, set your goals, the obstacles to the goal, and the ending. And whether the execution is the key. My problem with Star Trek Into Darkness, which I'm on record saying I didn't like, is because I knew it was going to happen. Everything was going to be safe.
And you weren't surprised.
You can't avoid that in those big movies. Right. It's not their fault for doing that. They just have to. So one after another becomes similar. Because you know what's going to
happen. Yeah, but it's almost like a haunted house effect after a while. And so I think it's something that I just can't shake a feeling when I'm in a big blockbuster is I can actually feel the weight of how many souls were a part of this movie. Right, of how many cooks were in this fucking kitchen. Yeah. And I feel like I'm in a haunted house with a ton of insidious demons surrounding it. Yeah, and everybody has a little bit of an effect on it.
That happens a lot, too. And the studios do that. And that's why you have a lot of problems with that. But I want to hear what Schmoville has to say. At Schmoes, no. Tell us why the blockbuster is a little bit more disappointing.
Just feels a little weighty. Right.
Let's go to the next. Let's go to the next topic. One of the next topics.
Sure.
Sorry, Tiffany. You go. Tiffany,
write
you're
it
up.
Down and put in suggestion.
Tiffany, you're up.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about was
the IRS is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock.
Wait, what is that?
Bobby Finstock. No.
Wait, maybe he's calling.
Bobby Finstock. No.
You promised.
You might be calling. You might be calling.
You promised.
What?
You promised me. Are you kidding?
Is he here? No, he's not here.
I just saw him.
Wait a minute. There he is.
There's like nothing.
You
for
can't
me
do a town hall without Bobby Finstock.
Oh,
there
no
he is. What is he
things
wearing?
Are getting thrown.
What's he wearing?
Bobby Finstock. Why'd you throw it a cup at me? I didn't do anything.
Wait, look. Make sure you're in the. What are you? Go give Tiffany
what
a hug.
What is that?
You told me that he was not coming
who
tonight.
Who said that?
You did.
I did say that.
What is Finstock? I didn't mean Finstock. How are you, my friend? Good to see you.
Well, wait a minute.
Never fear. Bob Finstock's here.
Well, very nice to see you, Bobby Finstock.
Understated opening with the Mugatu sweatshirt.
Yeah, Finstock, so what are you wearing right now?
Well, I got this at Ben Stiller's 16th annual clay pigeon shooting event.
Well, no, that's not true at all. Where did you get it?
16th annual?
Oh, you know what? Smokey Robinson's house.
That's absolutely not true. Where did you get it?
She stole it from girl I was with last
time. Okay.
Why
fine,
is
that's
he
fine
here?
All right. So Finstock is in the at Bob Finstock is in the house.
What kind of backwoods female lumberjack were you shacking up with last night?
So you stole that from a girl.
Sweatshirt.
You stole that from a girl. Bobby, so what we're doing here is we're doing a town hall meeting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a town hall meeting. We're talking about all these subjects. Tiffany was about to take the floor, but you rudely interrupted her with your song.
You rudely interrupted me.
I didn't.
He's second rudely interrupted me.
Oh, she's very.
I didn't rudely interrupt you.
Well, first of all, what did she say? I'm sorry.
I love her.
Oh, you do. And by the way, your episode of Meet the Schmoes on the Schmo Plus channel is fantastic.
Oh, I thank everybody for watching that.
It was really good. Really good
thanks,
stuff.
I appreciate it.
It doesn't seem like they've had any interaction out of the office since they were last here in the studio, so maybe we can get some
sparks. Yeah,
because
all of the photos in his apartment kind of terrified me, so I stay far
away. I didn't even do that. There was an intern who did that.
Yeah, well, look. So
an intern who took those pictures.
Finstock, now, again, Tiffany's about to go. It's her. We're going to listen to her, and we're going to try to contain you as much as we can here.
Okay.
All right, Tiffany, you have the floor.
Okay, fine. So mine is about how much social media is affecting castings of films that we're seeing now, specifically with, you know, Ben Affleck and Batman.
Good
and
one.
Then now even with 50 Shades of Grey, because for both of those films, everybody online got so angry. I mean, with Ben Affleck, they sent a petition to the White House.
to the White House?
To the White House. And then you're reading things where I don't remember who tweeted it, but about trying to get Charlie Hunnam recast. And I'm like, there is some part of it that's awesome because the fans really do have a say.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a huge fan of a franchise or if you've read the books, you should have some say in it. But I feel like people have totally forgotten that all of these actors are real people.
And I think that's the point. I think that's the point right there, is the fact that some guy sitting in, I don't know, maybe whether it be in Ohio, Kansas, whatever, too, he's not in, like, we were just talking to Katie Sackhoff for an hour.
Yeah.
That guy's not doing that. You know what I mean? He's not...
he's not. No, you're not Joe in Iowa.
Do you know what I mean? No, but he's not attached to it. He doesn't. It's not
like the
real.
Guy who
it's
would come out and say that girl is bad in the movie, like she was saying.
Yeah,
whereas, like,
say
you don't
wants.
Have an attachment or a realization that, like, this is a person. Like, when all the Ben Affleck stuff came out, and then Val Kilmer tweeted and was like, "Give him a chance," and Joss Whedon tweeted and was like, "He's going to do a great job at this," and I was like, "That is what I want to see." There's so much negativity.
But on the flip side of that, Tiffany, how do you feel though when someone who's like really poorly cast that you hate,
like
if Anne Hathaway was casting something and you and it was cast like what
Anne Hathaway and Bobby Finstock?
Anne Hathaway, guys.
Like, now would you, if you weren't in the business doing like hosting and doing whatnot, would you feel more inclined to tweet about it? Because you don't, because you don't want it to affect your jobs and stuff, which is smart.
Well, I think when people are in the business, they do death threats.
What?
You know, they post death threats. They'll be like, "I want to kill you, Ben Affleck, for being Batman."
Who says that?
You know, I mean, people tweet that kind of stuff.
People who are in the business. Not in the business.
Yeah, who are not in the business.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. You're not going to stop social media people from expressing their opinion. I don't think you should, but you just hope that studios don't take it too seriously. Because, look, I'm a fan. That's all I am. Fans should not have a say in a lot of these casting decisions, because then you get the fucking Pro Bowl, okay? Or you get the NBA All-Star Game,
correct,
where you just people voted in by fans. And I'm sorry, fans aren't the best judgment of character. They aren't.
But
there's some
kind of balance that needs to be there.
Yeah,
because I think it is really something where, I mean, I didn't hear about the casting of any of Lord of the Rings before it came out. And I went to see it, and because I didn't have any preconceived notions of who was playing what role, what they were going to be like, I went in and I just took those characters for who they were.
Yeah. But you also had to wait for America Online to send you a disc that gave you 10 free internet hours, as opposed, like, you cannot go online.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can deactivate your Twitter account.
I feel like we find out so far in advance.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's everything. That's everything. Yeah.
Now it's social media, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in regards to, you know, Batman and Ben Affleck, who else would play him?
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of Michael Fassbender?
No, but there are a lot of
these people.
Like, my dream would have been for Michael Keaton to come back.
By
the way, happy birthday, Michael Keaton.
Well,
that's
what I was going to say. So, I mean, like, it's just a matter of... There are going to be a lot of people out there who don't like the casting. They're going to be. I do think sometimes majority, like, should but I think you should do. The studio should do this beforehand. They should do polls, and they should say stuff like along the lines. I know that negotiations doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But once you hire somebody on, like Ben Affleck got hired, deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, Hunnam's hired, deal with it. I'm not going to petition them to get him off.
Well,
that's stupid.
It's not even necessarily that people have an opinion. It's how negative people are about it. That's the part that, like, I'm like, it's fine if you say, I'm not really sure he's going to be great in this role, but I'm going to give it a shot.
But extreme reactions also get headlines. And I think that this is also the wave. I think everybody's still learning how to handle the Twitter kind of initial crash onto the shore. And I think that once the dust settles, it'll even out a little bit. Like, if you look at history, when something new has come along, like the printed word or anything else through the history of time, it's been like, oh, fuck, now we have this whole new world, you know? And now I think it'll settle down a little bit. You're not going to get as many petitions, because people are going to learn that it just doesn't do anything.
Well, and there are great things that come from it. Like, even with Katie tonight, where she talked about she wanted to play Harley Quinn, and then everyone tweets about that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a great part of it.
Boom.
If there's somebody that you really like...
You just hope the decision makers can sift through the fans being like, hey, we shouldn't let these people tell us who the next Batman should be, but if they really want Betty White on Saturday Night Live, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, again, let's move on. We're doing subjects topics. We're going to take some from Schmoville soon. I got one. So, Mark, did you want to start?
I'm wearing the shirt, you know.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you start, and then I'll go.
Okay. Okay, so the new RoboCop trailer does in fact look cool. Plus, it has Michael Keaton.
Right.
But it's only PG-13.
Yeah. I guess that brings me to ask.
Yeah, but that's like noir.
Wait. Why are great R-rated films like Total Recall and RoboCop being remade into PG-13 movies? I think it's bullshit.
I think I know why. Because I think it's a lot harder now. PG-13 is the new R.
Yeah.
It really is. And R is like the new X-rated thing. In a certain sort of way. Do you believe that?
I don't know why you guys are giggling so much.
Do it again. Do it louder.
Oh, my God.
Right, do it louder.
What, the laugh?
No.
PG-13's a noir.
No. We just read
Literally. We read verbatim.
Verbatim. We just read Josh the intern's tweet that he wrote. And he literally, Riley and I passed him on the street, like standing next to him as close as I am to Tiffany. And he just didn't know. He just was clueless to what the guy.
As we're plagiarizing his writing, he's just doodling on a piece of paper.
It's like a stick figure with a cop. Like,
unless he was like writing Mark Ellis on his to kill list. It's like, we just thought it was funny, Josh. We just messed with you. But,
all right, come here. Stick your mug into a Finstock's mug and Mike and let. So all right. So your point was, so all these R-rated films now, like Total Recall and RoboCop, are being remade into PG-13.
Okay, so the
movies.
New RoboCop trailer doesn't sound cool.
All right. So,
yeah,
so what's your point?
As you guys were just talking, I was like, holy shit, I got to come up with a whole new subject because they're stealing everything I just said.
You had to get it.
I was writing other stuff, but in my head, that's what I was thinking. Well, basically, listen, I was going through my Blu-ray collection. You know, I got great movies like Terminator 2, RoboCop, Die Hard.
Guys, like, stop laughing. It. This is sorry. Not how a town hall should be
sorry,
run.
You're right.
His head, I imagine, there's just a sleeping bunny in the corner.
One day we're going to come to the show and he's going to lock the studio door and then shit's going to get real.
He's going
to
be the new Cusack stalker. All right, let's go.
I'm sorry, but you do have a point about
no,
this.
No, I do. Here's the thing. I was going through my Blu-ray collection trying to watch a movie the other day. I came across T2, Die Hard, you know, RoboCop.
Tough
choice. These movies I grew up loving. And the movies that I saw in theaters, I remember seeing T2 in theaters and just being blown away. That was a summer blockbuster for me.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's like, why are we not seeing those kind of movies anymore?
Well, like, because they don't let kids like you sneak in R-rated movies.
My dad took me every time.
So you're saying R-rated
block? Stallone movie.
Well, they do try to make them.
They remake them and they remake
not just remake. You know, I mean,
look, I mean Riddick.
Riddick's are, you know, they have. There are movies with. I mean, The Matrix was a big one. I mean, this is granted.
Big radar. Maybe
sci-fi.
300 was the last.
Because the reason why they don't do it is because the studios sit around and go, oh, we need to get all the 13-year-olds into the theater and want to make money, which is, look, and there are, this is why, and I think Ellis and I, again, we'll bring up Star Wars 1,000 times, but, now that Disney has the franchise, it would be great to see if they ever did an R-rated Star Wars film. Will it ever happen? No. Probably not.
I don't agree with that because those were never made to be rated R.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will comment and say that I do because there are stories in the Star Wars universe that absolutely could be rated R.
You know more than Star Wars than I do because I have never
then
read
shut
anything.
Your mom. I'm just kidding.
There's a lot of sex in Star Wars.
No, there isn't.
But here's another thing is back in where in society where do we come where like there was a Rambo cartoon. There was a cartoon about a Vietnam vet who killed 100 people.
Yeah.
Like there were like Toxic Avengers toys and that movie was NC-17.
Well, Reagan was also the president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll bring him back. Let's zombify his ass. All right.
Josh, you're going to need some sweet holograms for that.
Now, I'm just saying, why were big rated R action films back in the day huge blockbusters, and today we don't get
I'm
going to
say something crazy.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to agree with Finstock.
Okay.
But I feel like we have gotten so desensitized to things that PG-13 really is what R used to be.
Yeah.
Seeing Riddick, I was like, there was stuff after I left. I forgot it was rated R.
I agree with the first part. I disagree with the second part. I do think that absolutely that we are desensitized to stuff. And there's so much more. But there are still things that they did back in the day that would still get a hard R now. Rambo.
In RoboCop, it's PG-13. I'm not going to see a guy get his dick blown off by RoboCop shooting through a dress.
But that's
PG-13 RoboCop.
But here's the thing with that. Yeah, I want to talk about the RoboCop thing first of all, because I saw the preview on it at Comic-Con. It's a different story. Look, it's still Alex Murphy. It's not the same story of what the Alex Murphy in 1987 went through. It's a different story.
Yeah.
He's not going against Boddicker and all those guys.
It seems very more grounded in reality as far as what could be in the next 5 years as opposed to in the next 100 years. And
he doesn't die like he does in 87 when he died. He doesn't die in this one.
He gets blown up with a car bomb in
the
trailer. That's totally different from the original.
It's a different.
The original was one of the most gruesome, R-rated.
But that's the thing. That's the thing, though. People bitch about they're remaking everything. They're retelling a different story. It's not the same story.
You don't want it to be remade exactly the same.
Normally, look, you know my thoughts on Red Dawn. Mm-hmm. I lost my mind over that movie, but this movie, it's different
Karate
for
Kid.
Me.
Okay, well,
Karate Kid was different though because Karate Kid did it right.
Yeah,
Karate Kid, I wanted to hate.
Yeah,
it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Mm-hmm. But here's another thing.
Never seen one thing
if you remake a movie, but when you're continuing your franchise like Terminator Salvation,
yes.
where every movie is rated R
beforehand, I don't disagree with that at all.
Die Hard, Live Free. Yeah, I mean, listen, that last one, Part 5, I'm convinced they made that PG-13 and they changed it rated R because I can't think of anything rated R in that movie. Listen, I want John McClane punch somebody in the face saying, you motherfucker. I don't want him saying, you mother trucker. I want to see John McClane I grew up
and
with.
That's why I didn't like the fourth one.
I
want to
see Terminate people.
But I also, I agree with you that I think that if you start with a franchise at R, you can't change it. Like, again, like that's what, but the RoboCop, again, different. They're rebooting it. It's a different.
It's a remake, so I can understand it's a little different.
I'd like to think that the people behind these movies are clever enough to, if the studio comes down and says, look, we're simply not giving you the money unless you make this PG-13, I'd like to think that they're creative enough to come up with something, much like the way George Lucas and his team was creative enough, because they didn't have all the great effects in 1977. So they, or Spielberg was creative enough because the fucking shark wouldn't work properly. So he had to make a movie around this malfunctioning beast, and it turned out to be pretty good. So let's not always pin the fact that it's rated R, rated PG-13 on the quality of the movie. It also should be the people behind the scenes that are responsible.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sick of people, not you guys, because you guys are fans. I'm sick of people bitching like the writers say, oh, well, we couldn't go R. Then write a fucking better movie. Right. Yeah. You know?
Well, look at Total Recall. That remake was a fun action movie. But it was PG-13. It was just different enough.
But that wasn't it wasn't.
I don't think Total Recall though suffered though for the R. I think it was. Yeah. I think it was execution. So I agree with you a lot of times that they scale back stuff and they shouldn't because I agree with you where you're saying. But I think sometimes it's different in terms of story and all that.
But wait,
I want to take one call from Schmoville and see how they're feeling. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, it's George, guys.
Georgie, what's up, dude? So, George, what do you want to talk about something new, or do you want to talk about JTI's belligerent post?
I mean, I can go off that into something new.
Yeah, sure. What do you got, man?
I think that a lot of the problem with all this stuff as far as ratings or summer blockbusters or whatever, what have you, is that Hollywood has gone really far away from story and more just towards what appeals to bigger budget film. You know what I mean?
Like, shoot 'em up, bang bang.
The movie poster,
sorry, what?
Yeah, they're selling people on the movie poster as opposed to actual substance in the film.
All right, well, let's spin off to the next one then, George. What do you got on the next one? What do you want us to go into? Anything you want. Anything movie you can see. Something that you saw last night. Any movie, like something good. What do you got for us?
Do you guys know anything about the film A Single Shot with Sam Rockwell? Because that guy's just slaying it in everything lately.
It's supposed to be really good. It comes out late September, and Sam Rockwell, there could be some early Oscar buzz. There was no Twitter petition to get him not in that movie.
No,
that's a good first step.
It's also a good subject to talk about. It's Sam Rockwell and underrated actors. Guys, because again, right now, Sam Rockwell can't sell a movie.
He should.
Yeah.
What was that movie? He was in The Way We Were.
He was in The Way, Way Back.
Way, Way Back. Apparently,
he's from a couple years ago. I just saw Moon recently, too.
Really?
First time was great.
He was in Gentleman Bronco, too.
Dude, the guy is...
I think Finstop's the first guy who actually attended a town hall meeting wearing a burlap mask.
Well, we don't know that.
Like, they generally frown upon that.
It's before Twitter. We don't know.
It happens.
All right, guys. So, look, we're going to go to break real quick. When we get back, we will have... I'm going to hit the floor with my topic, then Ken will go, and Riley, and blah, blah, blah. You guys...
I got a topic.
I know you do. Tweet in, guys. We're here at Bob Finstock, Tiffany Smith, Mark Ellis, Christian Arloff, Schmoes No Podcast. Poof.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording, you a-hole?
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out thenewsportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out thenewsportsguru.com.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
Hey, Toad Hop listeners, this is Freddie Lockhart and
Candace Thompson
with
What's Good,
starring
Freddie Lockhart
and
Candace Thompson.
And we are a show that knows a little bit about a lot. We talk about hip hop, we talk about other people who can't help themselves, and we talk about all sorts of things, music, TV, gossip, you name it, we do it. Be sure to check out our show live every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the ToadHopNetwork.com. And if you miss it, go back and watch it on ToadHopNetwork.com or download the audio from iTunes. Don't be a jerk. Do it. While you're there, leave a comment and rate the show. It's very important, Candace. They have to leave a comment and rate the show. You know why?
Why?
Otherwise, we'll be on the bottom. And we like to be on the top, don't we?
I know I do.
Yeah, girl.
With Gamefly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. Gamefly.com. Games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Bueller.
Oh, yeah.
Bueller.
Hello, everybody.
It is the Schmozno Podcast. Hello, Schmoville. Welcome back. We make sure you check out Ripped Apparel. We did that already. We had Katie Sackhoff in here talking Riddick. But now we're doing the town hall. But before we get to that, our own Ken Knapsack has a couple words he wants to tell to you good peeps.
Absolutely. We got a new sponsor, and it's perfect for Mark Ellis. Ellis, I'm going to call you on the floor. You have yet to watch Battlestar Galactica as ordered, correct?
No, the star of the show, Katie Sackhoff, Starbuck, has not brought me her DVD collection of it yet.
Now I got another way for you to watch it, all right? You've heard of Hulu.com, right?
I have.
Well, this is Hulu Plus. Have you heard of it yet?
I have heard of Hulu Plus.
Yeah, this is where you can sign up.
Okay.
For $7.99 a month, you get to watch anything. It's live streaming movies, TV shows. They have a plethora. I'm using the word plethora.
Nice.
Of TV shows. They got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Quantum Leap, MacGyver, Doogie Howser.
Movies or just TVs?
They got movies and TVs.
Okay.
Movies are just TVs.
Movies. They got the pictures.
You had me at teenage.
Yeah. You can binge watch like crazy on this. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from these great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, the shows we mentioned. You can watch it anywhere. Stream it on your TV. You can watch it on your smartphone, your tablet, all those fancy electronics. It's only $7.99 a month. But for our listeners, the Schmozno listeners, you get a 2-week free trial.
That's awesome.
If you go to hulu.com /Schmo.
Oh, that is awesome.
2 weeks. You know how much TV you can watch.
You
two
could
weeks.
Watch all of Battlestar Galactica.
HuluPlus.com.
If you start and don't stop.
/Schmo, and you can start binge watching BSG.
Just Schmo. Schmo.
Schmo.
Okay.
Just Schmo.
Okay.
All right. Do that.
2 weeks.
HuluPlus /Schmo, and you get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus, and do that so that they know that we sent you. It helps keep the lights on here for the show. Helps you get a bit better deal. One more time, that is HuluPlus.com/schmo. Ellis, get started.
You know what was really impressive about that? That was a great read, Kenny. And I'm actually going to do, like, I'm in real life, I'm going to go to Hulu Plus. Because you know what you had to use? When I first moved to L.A., I went to the Museum of Radio and Television.
Museum.
Because you could watch all that old shit. You got, like, a little kiosk.
Yeah.
And it was just yours. And you could go on the computer and type in, like, you know, Beatles, Ed Sullivan, and watch the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. Yeah. You had to go to the museum.
Right.
Now it's just right at your fingertips, and you can just
go
to Hulu
Plus.
Wait,
is that really how you say that word?
East or the South.
Yeah.
Museum.
It still pops in from here and there.
Not at the museum.
How do you guys say
museum?
It?
How do you guys say
museum?
It?
Museum.
When you guys are on the hayride, do you go there too?
I go to the museum when I want to get fancy.
Finstock, you been to the museum lately using Hulu Plus?
Well, I'm being a little bit. Just a little bit.
Wait, are you on the Hulu?
Well, I know how to cure pneumonia. Just put a put an old dead beaver on your chest.
All right.
Not a vagina, but like a real beaver.
All right, stop it. All right, so Finstock, you're here. All right, let's talk. Let's get Finstock on the mic here. Now, you, God knows what you're going to say, but let's bring up a town hall meeting. I mean, town hall subject. What do you got movie related?
Well, this just in boy dies in freak beaver accent. I heard it on a podcast
at the museum.
It's all about the flap. When you told me you were doing a town hall meeting, because I used to do town hall meetings back in Jersey and stuff like that, and I was like the head guy and stuff like
that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that really true?
Well, I mean, not really.
Okay.
They wouldn't let me
finish what you're saying. Finish what you're saying.
But, basically, my theory is, you know, in the town hall meeting is trailers.
Trailers. Okay, what do you got in trailers?
I think they showed a whole movie in there.
Yep.
Back in the days, they didn't show anything.
Yeah.
They just had, like, Michael Keaton doing something here, doing something there, you know.
And they had the guy.
In a world where somebody does this.
Where a guy wears a beaver mask
and he puts a beaver on his chest.
Or for the Disney movies, they'd have the guy, like, the really cartoon, like, rated G.
You could watch a Boogie Nights trailer. It's like a minute and, like, 30 seconds.
Okay.
And that's the full trailer. TV spots were, like, Mark Wahlberg. porn. William H. Macy. Done. That's it. Yeah. Now it's like the whole movie. And I really have a problem with that. I think they're trying to oversell it. It's an ADD world. I get it.
But I want to go back.
But you're watching the whole movie.
And there's like eight trailers. Now, like, you go on YouTube, you type in trailer one, two,
like
40 three, four,
different
five.
That's my problem.
I
have can see the whole movie.
But I have more of Ellis's like point there. My problem is more of that, is that give me one or two good trailers and I'm good. Because now I know that I want to see the movie. I don't need five or six trailers showing me the whole movie. I do like one trailer to because there's so – again, there's because the difference now, Bobby, there's so much product.
I understand.
And with social media and the way that – like you put out a good trailer, it gets 3, 4, 5 million hits if it's really great and that drums up interest.
True. But what if you put like a couple of just still photos, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford.
That's different.
Princess
that's a brand.
Leia.
That's a brand. But
Star
brand,
Wars 7. Whatever.
It doesn't matter what you do for
you're
Star Wars 7.
You're going to see it anyway, right?
But that's,
I get
that, that's a different. That's
okay.
a different brand.
Okay, I get it. But
it's 2013. Matrix has never been made. No one knows what it is. You don't show a trailer for that. You just show a picture of Keanu Reeves with sunglasses on. Nobody's seeing that fucking thing.
I don't think that it's that you don't show trailers, but it's like, okay, the Scarlett Johansson movie.
Which one?
The like new one that's like they're just premiering places where she's the alien.
The girl with the fur.
I just heard about what she's doing. I don't know what it's called though, but her.
But the trailer is really weird.
The Scarlett Johansson alien movie.
Under the skin.
The Tuscan Sun.
Yeah. But the trailer is super weird. You don't really know what it's about, but you get a vibe of what the film feels like. And for me, that's the stuff I love. Even with Gravity.
Yeah, same here.
Where, like, the first trailers we saw, you didn't really get much dialogue. And then there's a longer one that's come out. But I'm like, stop there. Like,
that's
don't
it. This,
have
I,
any more come
that's
out.
It. This last 100%. One was great, though. The last, this last one's good, but you're
yeah,
right. You're
where
right.
It's like, okay, you can give me one to hook me, and it doesn't need to be
and
long.
Love,
and then one that gives a like, little story.
A little story about Mark Ellis. He wasn't always the guy that you just skip on any studio lot and see a movie for free. I used to have to go to the movies like the common people, and that was my favorite part was watching the trailers. Yeah. I love seeing the trailers. I love seeing eight trailers before a movie.
Yeah.
I love when the crowd would groan when they see another preview. When they see the green screen again, they're like, oh, when's the movie? I'm like, I want the movie.
Exactly.
I have the attention span of a squirrel, and I want to enjoy it.
Yep.
My problem with trailers now is that it's so competitive to make your movie look the best. And but that's the problem is that if you make a shitty trailer, nobody's going to go see it because trailers aren't just trailers anymore. They are little movies that are, you're using to sell. It's
right.
A very
ton
of money
and they've gotten,
money
rid of. And even that trailer guy, they've gotten rid of too because you – you do so. I do like trailers. I get very excited when they come out on Tuesdays to watch them. But I do agree with Tiffany and you, Mark, the fact that like there's just too much of them. So we just need. I think that it's just a mixture of give me a really great trailer and then I'm done. Don't show me everything. Don't show me the Hulk rescuing fucking Iron Man in the Avengers. All right, let's move on.
Correct.
I want to hit on something too. My wife and I were watching The Breakfast Club the other day. It was on TV, and then that led into 16 Candles.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody had a good night.
It was nice. And then my wife. My wife turns to me and she goes, she goes, you know, they just don't make movies like this anymore. She had that old lady moment.
Wow.
And sounds like a Yenta.
You're married to Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life?
The reason I say that, because the reason I had the voice is because she said, I sound like an old lady right now. And are we just getting older, or do they not make movies like that anymore?
Our buddy Eric Marino, a very funny comic, had a funny line about the prequels. He said, you know, the biggest problem with Star Wars is that I'm 35. That was his line about it, because it's like maybe it just didn't have the same effect on you that you wanted because you weren't a little kid.
But kids loved it
when you saw it. And look, when you go back and watch a lot of movies, you just maybe you apologize for a lot of things. Like when I go back and I see Spaceballs, there's some jokes that miss bad in Spaceballs.
Right.
There's some throws that Mel Brooks has, some pitches that are way out of the strike zone.
That would tank nowadays.
But it's still so funny for the most part. And I disagree that it would tank, but it's. I appreciate spoof movies that I saw when I was a kid, and it is really hard to sell old Mark Ellis on a spoof.
But wait,
are you talking about like the
I'm talking John
fan, like
I'm talking John
genre.
Hughes movies
and
is it 80s
movies?
Is genre it, teenage?
Yeah, but I mean
like,
it's the movies that John Hughes made. And I guess the question is because John Hughes was such a genius and how good he was that it's impossible to say, well, there's another John Hughes out there, because there isn't.
Well, he transformed you, and you know when you watch the movie, you were so engulfed in it.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, storytelling is far beyond anybody else's. is on a high school level.
Yeah,
he nailed teenage angst on
in the 80s. He hit that time period. It was like
they were using like color reversal film. I mean, it shot differently. There was more close-ups. It was
but here's the thing: this is different stuff going on.
It brought you in.
I'll use a PGA Tour reference because Tiger Woods never had anybody to compete with, and now Tiger Woods is old enough to where there's a whole generation of kids that grew up loving Tiger Woods, and now they actually get to step up in the tee box next to him, and they can't wait to beat his ass because they've been doing that. They've been waiting for that their whole life. Sure. There's a group of writers that are coming up that watch John Hughes movies, and it affected them much like it affected Christian and his wife.
Sure.
And now they're starting to write movies that are really, really good. Like, you look at some coming-of-age dramas that have come out recently, like Percy Being a Wallflower or The Way, Way Back, or even something like Mud that has some other elements going on.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to make a comeback. There was a lot of shit there for a while, but they're I think it's started to turn a corner. I think it's because it's a generation that grew up on John Hughes movies.
I think you're right.
Ooh, I need to know.
But what I think is, though, yes, the writing might be the same at times, but it's the filming itself that is different.
Yeah. All right. Well, the cinematography. It is. I mean,
shots are totally different.
Well,
digital. I agree with you.
The nostalgia.
Well, I get your point, though. But the way they put
the songs in it.
Digital has also changed the way film in general is perceived, for sure.
Sure.
But all right, I want to move on real quick. I want to take a phone call from Schmoville. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey guys, it's Alex.
Hey, Alex. So what do you got, dude? What topic is on your mind, movie-related? Can be good, can be bad. What do you got?
Well, I have a point to your point, Christian. I agree with you. I don't think it's just John Hughes movies anymore. Like, I think it's like, if you look at animation movies nowadays, like you look at like the early 90s Disney movies, like you look at them now, you're like, it's fine, but it's not like the same magic that it used to be. I think it's just people.
You don't think Pixar has gotten some of that magic? Okay.
Yeah, so, I think so. But I mean, like, I don't know how to say it, but like fairy tales and like.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's like, and even Pixar now is kind of running off the bandwagon. Like, Washington University was cool because it was nostalgic, but like,
most of the stuff has been done before.
Doing all this stuff, it's losing creativity in my mind.
I feel like there's almost an innocence that's been lost.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but that's
With the animated films and the stories where it's high school kids, because I mean. Mean Girls was one, like, I loved that movie.
Yeah.
And I think had the same, stop it. But that same kind of, like, ensemble high school cast, but it's not the same as those because there's such a different, like, innocence to it than there is now.
Well, and someone tweeted in, you know, Tyler Myers at Myers FTW types in Perks of Being a Wallflower was a fantastic film. It was also based off a book as well, too. But the thing with John Hughes did was that it was just consistent. And again, what my wife had said, too, was like, It's a time capsule. Those movies. He captured everything about. It wasn't like a period like a romanticized version of what the 80s. That was the 80s. Like what he did, he captured it, and it was everything. And I think that was sometimes people try to heighten it for the movie. And
do you think he did it so good that it just set the bar so high that
maybe
you know
maybe
that you just can't do anything else?
I think it's more the teen. It's more the teen.
I think they should teach that in film school. I mean, look at Goonies. Look at Stand By Me.
Look at Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah, look at
movies that were made in the 80s are just epic.
Alex, thanks for the call. It's rare
to get a comedy that can actually go for the heartstrings, too, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles could, because there's that scene with John Candy and Steve Martin when you just go through so many emotions in one scene of that hotel room. And just a lot of comedies can't do that now, but I think it's coming back. I think that there is a generation of young people that are now coming to prominence in Hollywood that grew up on those movies.
But that was my point also, is the fact that are we just old? Like, are there going to be people now who are like 16, 17 watching certain movies and then in 20 years you know, they don't make movies like that Percy Jackson. You know, it's like, you know.
No way.
You know what I'm saying.
Look, I get
it,
but
they
look.
Will. I think they absolutely will. That's just how it is.
It's cycles. But the man on the mic right now, Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of Schmoesnow.com. You have the floor, my friend. What do you got?
Okay. I got, you know, we brought up Pixar, and I feel that Marvel is the Pixar now. They seem to be doing everything right.
They're the hot ones. Yeah.
They're the hot ones. Okay. I got a beef with them, though.
Uh-oh.
Riley's taking a shot at the big guns.
Fanboys are up in arms already. What's he going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
When Riley's got beef, the smoke never settles.
Why aren't they establishing themes in the music for each of their superheroes?
Great question.
Because
it is a great example.
They change composers every movie. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but one of my favorite scores, was the first Iron Man score by Rawan Jawadi.
Okay.
Okay, and he
what
did Pacific Rim.
Okay.
They replaced him in Iron Man 2, and I didn't notice the music in Iron Man 2.
Okay.
And I know we had this conversation, Christian. You like the music
in
Iron Man 3.
I like Brian Tyler in 3, yeah, but I think it's overshadowed.
I didn't like any of it because I kept waiting for that music from Iron Man. I associated Tony Stark Iron Man with the theme Iron Man. It was recognizable for me. Then go to Thor.
Okay.
Thor is the best, I would say, superhero score in the past decade.
Wow.
I love it.
Really?
Patrick Doyle did an amazing theme for Thor.
I like Patrick Doyle.
Yeah. And the Sons of Odin, especially, when they're announcing Thor and he's walking in and he's going to get the crown and all that stuff.
All right.
Now, he's not coming back for the sequel. And then the guy they did get.
So why is that one? Was Marvel just think it's cheaper or something?
These are the guys that cut out AC/DC and Black Sabbath of Iron Man 3.
Here's my opinion on it. Because I know a little bit about the music publishing. I know some things about some things.
All right.
When I made my movie, you had to pay a composer and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you also had to come up with a deal that if the theme that he created was used anywhere else in any kind of other media, you had to pay this composer.
Okay.
So I tend to think that Marvel, we've heard about them being a little chintzy with the coin to some of their talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing is happening with their composers.
Right. They feel like, oh, no one's going to pay attention to
that. Nobody's paying attention to that. We're just going to hire another one.
Yeah.
They'll just do whatever score
and
then just send it in and whatever.
Now, here's the sad thing. I agree with everything that you said.
I agree
that once you hire a guy on for theme, like, and again, using the Terminator thing from before, too, they changed Terminator throughout the whole damn movie.
Yeah. Exactly.
It drives me nuts. I think that less people have a problem with it.
I agree with that.
Than we do. And that's why Marvel's able to do it, because if enough people were saying, hey, get the composer back, then the composer would be back.
The reason for that is that the composer doesn't – I mean, the scores are fine for the movie, but occasionally I like to see something that feels like John Williams' Superman theme.
That's exactly my point.
As soon as it comes on, you could play the Iron Man theme in Staples Center when Kobe Bryant is introduced, and people are going to be like, what is this music for? There hasn't been anything in a long time score-wise that has come out and is that – reminisce or reminds you of this particular character.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It just doesn't do it anymore, and I don't know if they're writing away from that now or if it's just a different style of composing, but you talk about like feeling older. That's when I get feel because they're not making these bombastic scores that are like cool guitar riffs like they used to.
Or like Michael Keaton Batman.
Well, and even just getting
Danny Elfman's theme.
And Prince did it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Prince was on the soundtrack.
Yeah,
but I mean, that theme and all is stuff.
Yeah. The Danny Elfman theme for that Batman, Tim Burton, is an amazing theme.
Absolutely amazing. And
I mean, I feel like they still try and do that with the Bond films.
Well, the Bond films is interesting. They always use the Bond theme in every. So it can be a different composer every time.
Yeah.
And I don't. And so they have to pay the rights to whoever came up with that. But if you notice in the Harry Potter movies.
They change like every like 3 seconds.
You only get the first John Williams Harry Potter score at the titles.
Yeah.
In the titles. When the titles come up, you hear the dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You do not hear it the rest of the movie. Ever.
Right.
So they pay John Williams just a little bit for that use of that theme, and then they move on and they hire a new composer.
Is that why John Williams like the John Hughes of composers where
I think
you just can't be as good as that guy?
But even for that, it's that one moment that draws you back in.
Yeah.
You know? And even if it like if they continue to do that, and this is I'm like the masses here, but I don't notice it as much as you did, but when you know when it's good, you notice it. You know what I mean? Like,
but what would you say was good? Like for a Marvel movie?
I don't have any reference point for the Marvel films, but I mean, when I think of Lord of the Rings score, where it's like, if I hear that anywhere, I immediately get those feelings.
And he was Howard Shore. He was throughout the whole trilogy.
Yep.
He came back for The Hobbit.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's a great point, and I'm curious what Schmoville thinks. Tweet in at Schmoes know how you feel about the score debate here. Do you care? Do you think that they always should be back? Are you okay as long as someone fills in? I know a lot of people like the Iron Man 3 score. Now, something we haven't done here in a while that we're going to do right now. Johnny? Oh, man, that's all right.
Fix this fantasy draft.
Maybe not. We live in a world where every random thought. Sounds been a long time since we heard that. Talk about the posters coming back.
All those old feelings are just coming right back up again.
It's time for Tweet a Celebrity. For those new schmoes listeners who don't know, you just stop. For those of you who don't know how this works, we are going to write down a name of a celebrity, their Twitter handle, and then we will pick it out of a hat, and then you guys will tweet this person unmercifully and get them on the show. It worked with Zach Levi. It worked with Maria Menounos. So let's see who it can work with next. JTI, you ready? Let's let the lady pick. So, Ellis, go ahead.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. It's like calling me a girl.
Yeah,
so you can tell it's the last half hour of this Fosno podcast.
It is.
I can't think. I can never think of anybody to write down.
I know.
Oh, you didn't pick yet.
I didn't know we were doing this yet. Like, I'm not ready.
I'll be filming a video or a review, and I'll be thinking, this is the guy that I want to tweet. This is the lady that I need
to
tweet.
You guys think about it, and I'll let Bobby Finstock go ahead and give his topic. You want to give another topic?
Yeah.
What about Johnny? We haven't heard from Johnny. Johnny, you got a topic? Anything you've seen recently? Anything you've been thinking about with movies that been on your mind? Johnny Ice, our great engineer, who what do you got for us?
And it can't be us spoiling movies before you have had the chance.
No,
I think with the Mugatu shirt, that actually brings up one of my favorite movies, and that's Zoolander. And
impeccable.
I love that one.
Impeccable movie.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that's a question though too, is that you have. We have a point with Zoolander being a great movie.
Crazy Pills?
It's a funny movie that some people love. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get behind it. And I don't know if it's because of the Ben Stiller thing or what it is, too. What are some of those movies?
The IRS has a beef against Finstock, and you have a beef
let me ask this question real quick. So what's a movie that people love that you go,
Napoleon Dynamite. Easy.
Easy. Okay.
Not a
movie that...
Mine is obviously Departed. I mean, I've said that before.
You're not a fan of The Departed, Finstock.
You don't like The Departed?
I've already said that on a previous episode, and I got a lot of flack on it, but I mean, I just don't think that he deserved an Oscar for that. I think he deserved an Oscar for other stuff. But
mine are recent. Cloud Atlas and Stoker.
Stoker, I'm definitely.
People love Stoker.
How about fucking... what's the one I hate? The one with Josh Hartnett.
Which one?
It was maybe the worst theater experience of my entire life.
Pearl Harbor?
No, the one with Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson, and it's like the Gack, the
Decent Proposal.
Bunraku. Nobody knows that movie.
Hated that. Nobody knows what the hell Stoker is.
Mandela. I didn't like that.
Yeah,
either.
What's like a big time? But don't even like Cloud Atlas.
What's
a movie that people loved? Like Cloud Atlas bombed. I liked it, but it bombed. What's a movie that people love?
That I didn't.
You know what mine is.
Anything with Tom Hanks in her. Forrest Gump, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Forrest Gump. That's a great movie.
Yeah. Sorry.
See, you're going to put...
You say Ed Wood? Yeah. Okay, you say Ed Wood.
I hated that movie, too. So.
Twilight. No, doesn't work.
You know what? That wasn't a bad 80s movie, man.
What's Twilight?
They channeled 80s a little bit on that.
Wally.
Oh, yeah. I'm with
Knapsack
on Wally.
Ones people really liked that we didn't. I'm just like throwing myself under the bus.
What about Kick-Ass 2 for me? I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
All right, there you go. What was yours?
Minus the first like 10 minutes that I wish was just a short film.
What?
Drive.
Nope.
What?
Up.
Up? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that 10 minutes was so fun and uplifting.
Does everybody have the tweets?
I love the beginning.
It was. Cry.
I'm just kidding. Tiffany do it.
I'm just looking for that Will Wheaton, like, deer, when he sees the deer moment again in a movie. I haven't seen that.
Hold on. Don't pick it yet. Let's Johnny play the music one more time.
He was great.
Here we go. Guys,
Toy Soldiers.
All right, Smallville, get ready.
I don't think you've let me pick since I was a guest on the show.
That's not true.
Lovely and talented.
Get off!
It's time to tweet a celebrity.
Who do we get? What is it?
This isn't even a Twitter handle.
What is it?
Donnie Most in a box.
That's fucking Finstock.
That's Ralph Mouth. He's coming to make a comeback.
Donnie Most. You're an idiot. Go next. Donnie Most.
Making a comeback.
You're Donnie Most. I'll stuff you in the crust.
Donnie Most. If Donnie Most is listening, you just really hurt his feelings.
At Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel.
Let's get Duhamel in here.
Who put Josh Duhamel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's an H. Duhamel.
You put Josh Duhamel as well?
I did a double thing.
That was you? Did you have a crush on Josh Duhamel, Johnny?
All right, let's get Todd Hamilton in here and see how he pronounces his last name.
All right, Drovo.
I was like,
so,
what's the story behind that one?
All right, well, I got
a great actor.
Yeah, all right, okay. Fine. I got two for you. So there's one. Is Josh
you
Arnett?
You can't do yours
just because the reason it's not mine. It wasn't mine. That wasn't mine because I just saw one pop up at Real Hans Zimmer. Because of what we were talking about with scores, we tweet both.
No,
it's called Tweet a Celebrity, and
you have to pick one.
Do not tweet Hans Zimmer.
If you want Josh Duhamel on the show, then put Josh Duhamel as
well. You're not pronouncing it right.
Now you're going to split the
Josh
vote.
Jermel.
You just want to pick one
for fuck's
this
sake.
Week.
Whoever you want to put in there. All right, it's 9:15.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Nice things, I know. I'm sorry.
That's why we can't have
guys,
Celebrity.
It was a really, really fun show. And by the way, thank you guys for submitting all of your scores. We ask you guys every week to do the scores, and you guys really put together a great soundtrack.
They do a better
tonight.
Job of scoring this show than a lot of composers do scoring movies these days. Write a theme that I'll walk out of the theater humming, and I say humming because I can't whistle.
And another thing, guys, make sure you go to – this is very important, please. Go – right now, next week, it looks like that network we were talking about is going to shoot the show. Make sure you go to iTunes and rate and comment the show. It is very important. So, again, Bob Finstock here, Tiffany's Tweets, Christian Arloff, Mark Ellis, Schmoes No. We love you to death. Thank you so much. Peace out, Mother Fs.
Happy birthday, Raquel Welch.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.